Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. Just a couple more hours now for the voting in Pennsylvania, but already some exit polls reflect what Democrats were thinking as they headed to the polls.
I think it's very important. This country is going the wrong direction these days, and I think we definitely need a change.
CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato begins our coverage.
Much has been made of the fact that Democrats added well over 300,000 Pennsylvanians to party rolls before this primary, many of them young people eager to get involved, some former Republicans unhappy with the nation's direction. They had an effect at the polls. Exit polls show 14% of the Democrats who voted are new to the party.
I'm Peter Mayer in Evansville, Indiana. As Pennsylvania Democrats cast their votes, Barack Obama will watch the returns from here at this indoor arena in Indiana. He's setting his sights on this state's May 6th primary. Both sides are lowering their Pennsylvania expectations. The Clinton campaign downplays what was a double-digit lead in the polls, saying it was vastly outspent by Obama. Obama's advisors say any Clinton showing below her 10-point Ohio win would be seen as a failure.
Oil prices finished at near $120 a gallon today. The White House wants cars and trucks to get better fuel mileage. John Harchi has that story.
The administration set an interim target for improving fuel economy by 2020, following up on last year's Energy Act. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters gave these targets for 7 years from now. For cars,
35.7 miles per gallon. For light trucks, 28.6 miles per gallon.
At the Auto Alliance, industry spokesman Charles Torito says that's aggressive, but the industry will meet the challenge.
Currently, there are more than 70 models of alternative fuel automobiles available, and I think we'll continue to see that number grow.
Torito also expects to see more efficiency from traditional internal combustion engines. John Harchi, CBS News, Washington.
Congress wants to know whether federal inspectors are giving foreign drug companies enough scrutiny. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss on today's hearing on Capitol Hill.
FDA Commissioner Andrew Von Eschenbach told Congress they're sure contamination of the widely used drug heparin occurred in China. But at the same hearing, he acknowledged only a tiny percentage of factories in China and India, where most ingredients for U.S. drugs now come from, are inspected. And Democrat Bart Stupak says that's clearly not good enough.
I can only conclude that American lives are still unnecessarily being placed at risk.
Von Eschenbach says the FDA will soon open an office in China, but acknowledges most plants there still won't be checked. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Consumer advocates want more detailed alcohol labeling to let drinkers know exactly how much is in each serving they're consuming. Fingerprint scans won't be limited to the arrivals hall anymore at international airports. The Department of Homeland Security now wants airlines and cruise ships to provide that information for departing foreign travelers to guarantee they've left and not overstayed their visas. Two U.S. Marines were killed today in a bombing in Ramadi in Anbar province in Iraq. On Wall Street, the Dow finished off 104 points, the Nasdaq lower by 31. This is CBS News.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
Lawn and garden season is here. Time to shop your neighborhood Ace and dig into helpful, expert advice for all your outdoor projects. Buy supplies like 5,000 square feet of Ace fertilizer for just $8.99 and get a $3 rebate. Or buy Miracle-Gro potting mix for $5.49 and get a $3 rebate. Use your Ace Rewards card and earn points. Sale starts Wednesday, ends Monday at Ace, the helpful place.
Price is good at participating Ace hardware stores while supplies last. All rebates by mail. See store for details.
A new study shows life expectancy among some women has dropped sharply, particularly in the South and Appalachia. Dr. Christopher Murray at the University of Washington.
The main reasons for this are some combination of tobacco, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, as well as the rise of diabetes and blood sugar associated with the obesity epidemic.
A new study on smog and its effects.
Short-term exposure to levels of ozone that are really common in many parts of the country is likely to contribute to premature death.
Researcher John Baylor of the National Academy of Scientists. It was something Albany, New York postal worker Lisa Harrell says she never could have imagined.
I saw a baby in the window. Next thing you know, the baby fell out the window, fell on me, and I caught the baby. Not a scratch on her.
The one-year-old fell right into her arms. The baby's mother said she'd placed her daughter on a bed next to an open window. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
So you got an adjustable rate mortgage, and now the rate is about to adjust higher. What do you do?
Here's a smart borrower tip, courtesy of the Smart Borrower Center at LendingTree.com.
First, consider how long you plan to stay in your home. If you're planning to stay at least 3 years, refinancing may be worth it. But if you plan to move in less than 2 years, any savings may not cover the cost of refinancing.
For more information and objective advice on lending, visit the Smart Borrower Center at LendingTree.com/smartborrower today or call 1-800-555-TREE for information and licensing.
At Mercedes-Benz, we've recently engineered a great new way for you to own a Mercedes-Benz. It's called the Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Event. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz features an extensive 155-point inspection and lifetime roadside assistance, so you know it's all Mercedes-Benz through and through. Get limited-time financing now through April 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty coverage and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old or less than 18,000 miles.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
1, 2, 3, My baby don't mess around me, because she loves me so, and if I know for sure.
The clock says it's time for me to start talking. I'm glad you're with us here for a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. And yesterday was my birthday. Today is our Earth Day. I hope you will treat her kindly and maybe do your part to restore our Earth just a little bit. We'll kick off our show in just a moment with Steve Kretzmann. He's going to tell us the impact of the war in Iraq on climate change and its cost in terms of, if we'd spent that money addressing global warming and our emissions, well, we'd be a lot better off. We'll revisit the cost of the war toward the end of the program. There's a new mini-film out from Robert Greenwald's Brave New Films called The $3 Trillion Shopping Spree. That's coming up in our third hour today. Between now and then, Caroline Fredrickson from the ACLU returns. We'll get an update from her on the status of the FISA reform. We hope it's dead, dead, dead. And also, she has a case underway regarding equal pay for workers. And there's a bill in the United States Senate working its way through. We'll give you the update on that later this hour. Next hour, Ken Silverstein, Harper's Magazine DC editor, will join us. He's got a piece in there about John McCain's slush fund. It's a foundation that is supposed to be all about reform. And it's kind of a parking place for some of his buddies. Jason Leopold will be along as usual, the independent investigative reporter. He's got two stories. One is a sad, tragic one. An average of 18 veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan come home and commit suicide every day. That's more than are currently dying in the war zone every day. Also, he's nailed Michael Chertoff for his role in torture policy. We'll talk about that. And Melanie Sloan has an update on ethics in Washington. Never takes long. Then we'll talk to Jim Gilliam from Brave New Films. You got all that? Well, if you didn't, just stay tuned and it will unravel before your very ears. The Peter B. Collins Show is sponsored by Polypoint Press and John Gorenfeld's new book, Bad Moon Rising. It's all about Reverend Sung Myung Moon and that propaganda sheet called the Washington Times. And check out the video. It's fascinating to see Reverend Moon with some of his elected official buddies, including members of the Bush family. The video's on the web at thekingofamerica.com.
That's www.thekingofamerica.com. Steve Kretzmann is a founder and executive director of Oil Change International. They're on the web. They've got a great website, in fact, at the Price of Oil. It's just Price of Oil. Don't add the priceofoil.org. Steve, welcome to our show.
Thanks so much, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to talk with you, and I'm a big fan of your colleague, Antonia Juhas.
Excellent.
In fact, it's been too long since I've spoken with her, so please give her my regards, and I'll use this as a reminder to invite her back on the show. She is so effective at explaining, for example, the oil situation in Iraq and how that gets carved up under these agreements that have been negotiated. So you work with a very thoughtful and smart woman there.
Thank you. We think so, too.
Yeah. So, overview here. It's Earth Day, and one of the human contributors to the soup in the sky that is loaded with carbon dioxide and helps warm our planet is coming from human activity between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers and north, south, east, and west, as Donald Rumsfeld once said. What is the impact of this elective war and occupation of Iraq on the world's environment?
It's actually quite a bit larger than you might think. This is the most fuel-intensive war that has ever been waged. And what we saw in doing really what is a first cut at looking at greenhouse gas emissions from the war is that since the war started, it's been responsible for at least 141 million metric tons of carbon dioxide. And to give you some perspective on that, that's equivalent to putting 25 million new cars on the road in the U.S.
Mm, wow.
Yeah, so it's not insubstantial at all, and it's really something. Now, you know, I certainly don't want to suggest that this is the major reason to oppose the war. There are plenty of them already out there, and we just want to make people aware of yet another impact of this war, and hopefully, another reason to end it as soon as possible.
And any way of comparing it to pre-war emissions from Iraq? I don't think of it as a country that was very modern in its facilities, and Saddam had been so cash-strapped because of the sanctions and the cost of his Iran-Iraq war and then our Desert Storm, that he really didn't modernize the petroleum facilities. And I also don't think, though, of Iraq as a huge refining nation. They refined enough for domestic consumption, but as we now know, they don't have a lot of operational capacity. They're actually importing gasoline there. So if you gave us a pre-war comparison, how much of a gross polluter was Iraq before we invaded?
Yeah, that was a very difficult figure to find. We actually looked for that and really couldn't come up with a number that we thought was particularly reliable. Having said that, you know, there's some trade-off on the fact that obviously there is a good deal less economic activity going on in Iraq than there might have been before.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the fuel intensity of the warfare, the fact that so many buildings have been destroyed, requiring the production of new concrete, which is a very greenhouse gas intensive effort, all of these things produce a lot more. So we're pretty confident that it's a good deal above what the baseline was.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good question.
Yeah. And, have we done anything as the occupiers in our reconstruction to try to make Iraq a greener nation?
No, really, not in any significant way whatsoever. You know, I mean, I think that it's, our reconstruction, such that it's been successful at all, hasn't really factored in ecological construction or any thoughts about that whatsoever. And, frankly, in some ways, it would just be nice if they could get it right and get the services working.
Sure.
for Iraqis in general. You know, when we look at this report, I think that, the emissions are shocking and large and disturbing on their own, but the thing that I really find the most shocking about it is the amount of money and the opportunity costs of spending this money on the Iraq war, fighting this war rather than fighting global warming, and that's what I think is really shocking.
Yeah. And how do we quantify that? What's a good way of comparing? For example, I saw some figures in your report about the number of wind farms or solar communities that we could have built just for the known items, the amount of cash, which is in the range of $600 billion to date. We know it will compound, and with the cost of veterans and the cost of rebuilding our military, the Stiglitz estimate of $3 trillion, I think is realistic. There are some naysayers at the White House, though. They think it's lower. They simply won't name a figure of their own.
Right. Well, for the $600 billion figure, which is what Congress has directly appropriated, we could have taken that money and built over 9,000 wind farms at 50 megawatt capacity each. Basically, what that means is collectively, those wind farms could have actually met 25% of our nation's energy needs and reduced greenhouse gas emissions by over 1 billion metric tons of carbon dioxide a year. That's a huge impact, and that would have been a tremendous contribution in the fight against global warming, but obviously it's our priorities were different. And I think that, obviously this is a somewhat fanciful construction because it's never A or B, mm-hmm. but having said that, I think it really shows that, this idea that we don't have the money to fight global warming, or that, the idea of, of actually trying to find the resources to transition off the fossil fuel economy is really going to be difficult. I think that one thing this report shows clearly is that's false, and that it's all about what our public policy choices are right now. We're choosing to put money into a war that no one's quite sure why we're there in the first place. Instead, we could be choosing to transition our economy off of fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm. Steve Kretzmann is with us, Executive Director of Oil Change International. Their website has a lot of great information. It's priceofoil.org, priceofoil.org. And you seem to be fighting for separation of oil and state. We talk a lot about separation of church and state on this program. How could we separate the oligarchs from our pro-corporate government? And I say pro-corporate whether it's a Republican or a Democrat in the White House.
No, that's true. We've actually just completed a new online tool and a study, which you can access through the website that you just mentioned or directly at followtheoilmoney.org. Mm-hmm. And that shows very clearly that oil money is a tremendous correlation in between people who vote against clean energy and climate initiatives and, frankly, for the war, and those who take oil money. So in the case of clean energy, overall, representatives who vote against clean energy take about 4.5 times more oil money than those who don't.
Well, it helps lubricate their votes.
Exactly, right? I think it's fairly common sense. The thing that I thought was most interesting about that is that that finding holds even within the parties. So if you look at just the Democrats who take oil money, mm-hmm. Democrats who vote against clean energy take on average 6.5 times more oil money than those who don't. And the point here being, to get to your original question, a great way to move at separating oil and state is to demand that your representatives stop taking money from the oil industry. And you can go on to the website, you can find out how much your representatives have been taking, and you can urge them to stop with all deliberate speed.
All right, that's great. And the website again, oilmoney.priceofoil.org is where I found that one. That's Follow the Oil Money. You got a lot of websites, Steve.
It's sort of a little try to be memorable in how we set up the URLs. You can get to it all through priceofoil.org.
Yeah, that's what I did, and that's the easy access route, and there's a lot of great information there. We'll try to touch on more of it in just a moment. If you have a question or comment about oil, about Earth Day, about climate change, bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. You can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? more people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests, and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American-made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's Earth Day. And we're talking about the impact of the Iraq war on the environment.
We'll be right back.
continue with Steve Kretzmann. The website is priceofoil.org. He is founder and executive director of Oil Change International. And when you give the elevator pitch, what's your mission statement there, Steve?
It's really to remove the political barriers to a clean energy transition, which we think are the real ones standing in the way right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mind if I take a minute here? I promised to make a phone call over to Sacramento today to our Hummer governor. Because it is Stop the Spray, Call Arnie Day. And if you call the governor's office at 916-445-2841, you can make a comment. You can press 5 to leave a message. We're going to press 6 and see if a taxpayer...
You're calling the office of Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. In order to expedite your call,
yes,
please select from the following options.
All right. 6.
We're sorry. You have pressed an invalid key. Please try again. Continue in English. Please press 1 now.
Okay.
Continue in Espanol.
English. I'm in English.
Please listen carefully as our menu options have changed.
Apparently.
For office hours, mailing address, fax number, or to email the office of Governor Schwarzenegger, please press 1.
No.
If you would like to voice your opinion on legislation, please press 2.
Well, maybe.
For information,
but that sounds
Maria
like
Shriver,
a voicemail box.
Free.
Maria Shriver, not interested today.
If you'd like to invite
today.
The governor to an event or would like to schedule an appointment with the governor, please press 4.
That's a long shot.
To voice your opinion on a current hot issue, please press 5.
Now, that's probably the
you
voicemail
would like to
box.
Speak to a representative, please press 6.
That's what I did.
Thank you. Please hold the line, and your call will be transferred.
All right, here we go. See what kind of friendly staffer there or intern picks up the phone. If you'd like to make this call, 916-445-2841. That's the governor's office. And we're asking them not to spray humans to try to eradicate the light brown apple moth.
Thank you for holding. We look forward to serving you.
Oh, jeez.
Member of Governor Schwarzenegger's staff. Will...
I'll bet. Well, you get the idea. I don't have time to complete the call, but perhaps you do. Steve, what is your take on Schwarzenegger? He's kind of a mixed bag. AB 32 seems to be a good start. He does seem to be listening to Terry Tamminen and other environmentalists. Yet he continues to drive a fleet of Hummers. I think one of them has been turned into a hybrid, and yeah, that's fine. But it really seems that the bottom line is that he'll take the Chamber of Commerce route before he'll take the environmentalist route.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of indicative of the kind of fractures you're going to see in what it takes to be an environmentalist and what, you know, the environmental, what that word means. You know, it's a good thing to talk about on Earth Day. You know, the idea of a hybrid Hummer is kind of absurd in
yeah.
and of itself. I'm pretty sure it doesn't really do particularly good on gas mileage. But,
well, I'll just give you a benchmark. I test drive new vehicles, and I had a General Motors Tahoe hybrid a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty impressive as a start, but it gets 19 miles to the gallon on the highway and 19 in the city. Now, that's up from 13. That's not a real quantum leap.
No, not at all. I mean, you know, Honda's overall fuel efficiency is 35 as a fleet average right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, and as we know, the Prius gets, you know, in the vicinity of 50.
Right.
And the technology is out there to do, you know, in the vicinity of 100, particularly with plug-in hybrids right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at the kind of challenges we all face when it comes to global warming and the kinds of things that are going to be necessary in terms of changing the technologies we're working with and really facing into the challenges. And, you know, going from 13 miles an hour to 19 miles an hour does not even begin to cut it, and particularly if it's passed off as this is enough and look, I'm doing my part, it actually potentially harms.
When I was driving this big beast, it's got the word hybrid plastered all over it. And in a politically correct community near my house, I pulled up to a light, and a lady in a Prius came up, and at first she had this kind of glaring look, and then she saw the word hybrid. And, you know, both thumbs went up. So it is good on an image level. And I give Detroit, you know, credit for starting the process. The technology worked well. But the real question is, does anybody really need a Tahoe? I just spent $62 filling up my little Nissan yesterday.
Exactly. Exactly.
Steve, thanks for joining us today. Pleasure to talk to you. And I want people to go to priceofoil.org and check out all the information on your website there.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, my pleasure. Coming up next, we'll talk about equal pay and the way the United States Supreme Court intervened recently. The Senate's trying to fix it. We'll talk to Caroline Fredrickson from the ACLU.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Visa. Every company succeeds in its own way, and Visa Business is there to help. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. In business, as in life, the great equalizer is time. Some people have more money than others. Some have more staff, more branch offices, more resources to work with. But everybody, from the mightiest CEO or chairman of the board of the biggest corporation in the world to the operator of the tiniest newsstand on the corner, has exactly the same amount of what nobody has enough of, time. Which is to say 24 hours each day, exactly 168 hours each week, 8,736 hours each year. Not a minute more, not a minute less. The difference is how we use that time, how we organize it, and what we do with it. Some valuable advice after this.
You know, a wise man once said, "Do what you love and you won't have to work a day in your life." Of course, small business owners know that doing what you love sometimes involves doing things you don't love, like the finances. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
Now you can lower cholesterol by taking a Centrum multivitamin. Introducing Centrum Cardio, the first and only leading complete multivitamin that can lower cholesterol. Centrum Cardio contains Corowise, a natural ingredient that can lower cholesterol. You may see results in as little as 4 weeks. The lower cholesterol you want from the name you trust. New Centrum Cardio. Good for your cholesterol, good for the rest of you. 400 milligrams free phytosterols taken twice a day for a total daily intake of at least 800 milligrams as part of a diet low in saturated fat and cholesterol may reduce the risk of heart disease.
If you love life, guard well your time, wrote Benjamin Franklin, for time is the stuff life's made of. I promise you some valuable advice, and here it is. Don't do what I do. Don't procrastinate. Do the most important things first, today rather than tomorrow. Businessman Timothy Ferris, the author of The 4-Hour Work Week, came to realize that only 5 of his 120 customers were generating 95% of his revenue, so he reorganized his business to focus on them. Informed decision-making is important, but these days it's so easy to get so much more information that you get bogged down in it. We use getting still more information as an excuse to procrastinate, says David Allen, author of Getting Things Done. He says we do not do our best work under pressure, and if we think we do, we're only kidding ourselves. Also, get enough sleep. You don't do your best work when you're sleep-deprived either. Small businesses have an advantage over big ones because you can have fewer meetings and smaller ones. The fewer people at a meeting, the more productive it's likely to be. Think small. This valuable advice does not come from me. I'm just passing it along. Personally, I'm too busy to take such advice and too tired. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Slow down. You move too fast.
This is Professor Mossberg, your host here at KRXA for the Poetry Slowdown. T.S. Eliot said, "April is the cruelest month." What is cruel about April? Think about it for yourself. Call me on the show or write me at Barbara@KRXA540.com. We want to know your ideas for Cruel April, and I'll tell you how my answer to that question 40 years ago launched my career in 30 countries with erupting volcanoes, caves, and other joys and terrors. As the poet Tennyson said, "All times I have enjoyed greatly and suffered greatly, both with those who love me and alone." We'll be talking about Cruel Aprils, spring, poems you love to hate to memorize. We'll have a glorious time making the morning last, your inner poet kicking down those cobblestones. Sundays, right here on KRXA at high noon.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yeah, we're going to talk about wages and working conditions. Just got an email from Eureka where a petition is circulating to pass a minimum wage, a living wage, for workers in Humboldt County of at least $10 an hour. Minutes into the hour. Those are the Was Brothers. Was Not Was, Donald Was, and David Was. And I understand they've got a new CD out. I'm excited about that. And this is our official theme song for NSA spying on American citizens. You're always welcome to call the Peter B. Collins Show, but your calls are subject to interception by your government. And one of the people who's been on the front lines of fighting these incursions into our privacy rights and civil liberties is Caroline Fredrickson, the Washington director at the American Civil Liberties Union. Hello again, Caroline.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing okay today. In just a moment, I want to meet Lily Ledbetter, who's famous because her name was on a Supreme Court case. But first, I just wanted to ask you for a quick update. Can we cross our fingers and hope that FISA reform is actually dead in the Congress this session?
Well, I hope your listeners do a little bit more than that. Crossing your fingers and hoping is good, but I think better to make sure that members of Congress understand that we believe that the legislation the president was pushing should remain dead, and that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act keeps us safe and also protects our privacy. So we are not resting on our laurels. Mm-hmm. We are continuing to push to try and make sure that members of Congress don't allow the president's fear-mongering to drive them to pass really bad legislation.
But what we heard is that John Boehner has apparently thrown up the white flag and said he wants to move on to other issues.
For now.
Yeah.
And I guess this is why I think your listeners need to pay very close attention, because it is April. But wait till July.
Yep, recess time.
Recess time. It'll be a year after they passed that terrible piece of legislation, the Protect America Act, that really gave the rubber stamp to all of the president's incursions and his warrantless wiretapping program. So I think that's when people need to be particularly vigilant, because the president and I, you know, we're not a partisan organization, but the Republicans have been particularly on point on this. They will start raising the threat of a terrorist attack and blaming Democrats for not passing this bill, because if the president apparently can't wiretap Americans without a warrant, we are all in danger.
Well, and you remember those dire warnings that were issued just before the Easter recess, that if the House didn't acquiesce to the Senate version of the FISA reform that would have immunized the telephone companies that colluded with the administration on the illegal wiretapping, that, Al-Qaeda was going to form at our borders and we would all be under assault.
That's right. And, you know, the wonderful thing about that was that the Democrats really, for the first time, just ignored that.
Yeah.
They ignored it, even though in some districts there were ads running by this secretive group called the Defense of Democracy, which is funded by a very wealthy Republican donor that has been attacking certain Democrats for supporting the Democratic House position on surveillance. And they kind of shrugged. They sort of said their constituents were not affected, didn't believe it. So, you know, we are... That was a wonderful development, but we are going to continue to pay very close attention to how things move going forward, because I think members of Congress really need to be reminded that when they stood up, their constituents applauded them.
Yeah. Well, Caroline, again, I applaud the work of you and your colleagues at the ACLU on this issue, and I encourage you to sound the alarm the moment you hear either that Democrats are wavering or that Republicans are scheming to try to jam it through again.
We absolutely will, and we'd love to have the opportunity to do it on your program sometime in the future. We hope we don't have to, but if we do, we would turn to you for help.
Well, please,
in our efforts.
Please do. The invitation stands. Today is Equal Pay Day, and here is the sound. of the glass ceiling being breached once again. But we've got a lot of work to do, too. Now, Caroline, you work on a number of different issues, and one of them is the result of a Supreme Court decision in Ledbetter versus Goodyear, and we're going to meet Lily Ledbetter here in just a second. But give us the legal backdrop here. The way I recall it, this was decided on a very technical, narrow issue related to standing, and that was that the Supreme Court said that this suit was being dismissed because it was not brought within a timely manner under a deadline, and this deadline appears almost impossible to meet in many situations. Give us a quick precis.
Oh, that's right. What the Supreme Court said was that because Title VII, which is the governing law here, which prohibits employment discrimination on the basis of sex, race, religion, national origin, some other categories, it requires that when somebody learns about a discrimination against them, that they have to file a claim within 180 days. But what happens is that, you know, and I think Lily will speak to this, but, you know, and we all know this as a common sense proposition. Your employer doesn't come to you and say, guess what, I just started discriminating against you. You better file your claim.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that you might find out about at the water cooler when some other employee in your same job category mentions that he gets paid significantly more than you do, or somehow someone leaves a document lying around. But these things come to light, and it's very rare that they happen to come to light within the first 180 days. And so what the Supreme Court decision really means for employees, and this, again, affects, in Lily's case, we're talking about sex discrimination, but in the case of, you know, it could be race discrimination, it could be religious discrimination, it could be any number of other disabilities, age discrimination. But for all of us who are in the workplace, who expect to be treated fairly, we now know that, according to the Supreme Court, our efforts to be paid on the basis of our worth and not on the basis of our gender or our race or any other category that's not pertinent have now been cut off. Any effort, any ability to really recover or dissuade employers from discriminating in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And so this Supreme Court decision in May of 2007 under the Roberts Court was that you have to file a claim within 180 days of management's decision to discriminate against you. So if you work there for more than 180 days and you don't discover it for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, you're just SOL?
That's right. That's absolutely right, and that's what's happened to Lily. So, you know, and, you know, imagine every year that goes by, more damages accrue, right? You've been hurt more, you've lost more wages. I mean, women already face this, and that's what Equal Pay Day recognizes, that women are still paid significantly less than men. What this means is if you don't figure out that your pay is less because of specific discrimination against you, there is nothing you can do about it. And this has great significance because it affects your pension accrual. It affects, mm-hmm. You know, your ability to pay your mortgage and everything else. And it is an incredible injustice that the Supreme Court reached this decision. And I'll say this is in the face of countervailing precedent from the district courts and the appeals courts, because, as I said before, it's so self-evident to people in the workplace that no one is broadcasting to you when you're making less because somebody doesn't like the color of your skin or what sex you are or the fact that you're Jewish or Muslim or Catholic or Protestant. You know, all of those things are irrelevant, but nobody's going to tell you they're discriminating against you. And so, yeah. Essentially, you know, the Supreme Court has slammed a big door on the recovery for employment discrimination and has really given more or less a green light to employers now to engage in discrimination with no consequences.
Yeah. Well, after all, under the Bush administration, the Labor Department issued directives on how management can avoid paying overtime. That's really in the interests of workers.
That's right.
Caroline Frederickson there, she's director of the ACLU Washington Legislative Office. Joining us now is Lily Ledbetter, who worked for 18 years for Goodyear Tire and Rubber. Lily, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nice to talk with you. Where did you work for Goodyear?
I'm a former employee of Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company in Gadsden, Alabama. I worked there for 19 years and 10 months, to be exact.
All right. Always at the same single location?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. I hired in Gadsden, Alabama, and I remained there for my entire career.
And you were a management person, right?
Yes, sir. I hired in as first-line supervisor, which later they gave the first line of supervision more responsibility and supposedly more pay and more responsibility. Mm-hmm. He called us area managers.
And along the way, did you ever have suspicions that men who did the same work were getting paid more than you?
Well, only I heard people bragging about their overtime first line managers at Goodyear was paid time and half, double time, and triple time when we worked more than 40 hours or more than seven nights or holidays or startups, shutdowns, that type, whatever warranted it. But I never had any proof. I just only heard them bragging about how much overtime they were making. And I didn't know until I got an anonymous note in my mailbox at work showing my pay versus the three men who were, we four were doing the exact same job. There were four crews, and mm-hmm. we had the exact same job.
Now, was their base pay the same as yours?
No, no. That was the base pay that I was given.
Okay, and so base pay, there was a disparity in base pay, and
time.
The men were given overtime and you were not.
I was given overtime, too, but my base pay was so low.
I see.
I mean, I couldn't catch up. It was, once you're down as far as I was, there was hardly, I mean, it would have taken a act from Congress almost, I guess, to have gotten it changed back then. But I was shocked. My morale was really lowered. But the first day off, I went to EEOC. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and mm-hmm. filed a charge and carried Goodyear to court. Of course, I filed the charge in early 1998. We went to trial in federal court in Anniston, Alabama, in January 2003. And then Goodyear appealed to the 11th Circuit, and then our case got thrown out, and we appealed to the Supreme Court, and they heard the case November of 2006, made the ruling in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no way to find out because I worked for a corporation that their strict orders were no one discusses their pay.
Mm-hmm.
There was no water cooler discussions about pay in the company that I worked in.
And Alabama is a right-to-work state, which means you don't have many rights as a worker. Unionizing is very difficult. To what extent did you feel that the legal deck was stacked against you, even at the very early stages of your investigation and legal actions?
Well, in my early stages, I saw the deck was pretty well stacked because they decided to move me out of the job that I had into a job that I didn't want, and I wanted to work two more years to reach age 62, and they put me in a position, like you said, being in a right-to-work state.
Mm-hmm.
In November of 98, I took the buyout and left the corporation at that time on retirement.
I see.
And that was really a hardship on me, but seeing where they were headed, and I had filed a charge in early 1998, I felt like it was to my advantage to go ahead and leave. When you work for a corporation like that and you're only one of just a handful of women in the whole factory, you have no one to really support you along the way, and it's very difficult to learn exactly what your pay is.
Mm-hmm. Lily Ledbetter is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And, Lily, I'm sure your attorneys have calculated over the course of the 18, 19 years that you worked there just how much this discrimination cost you. What is that figure?
I don't have the exact figure right here in front of me.
A couple of hundred thousand, a million?
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a bit because and then, too, see, all the years that I was working, I had the Goodyear retirement, which was based on what I earned, and
right.
then I had a contributory retirement, and that was where I put in a percentage and Goodyear matched it,
mm-hmm.
and I had a 401K, which was 10% of my earnings matched by 7% stock from Goodyear,
right.
and then when I signed up for Social Security. Yes, my earnings through the years was quite considerably less, and in that 20 years, it was a tremendous amount of money. We had calculated that before going to trial in 2003, but it's an enormous amount of money.
That's Lily Ledbetter, the plaintiff in Ledbetter versus Goodyear. The Supreme Court ruled against her last May, and we're trying to fix that in the United States Senate with S-1843, the Fair Pay Restoration Act. We'll talk about that next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
My name is Todd Hornick, and I'm a candidate in the June 3rd election for Monterey County Superior Court Judge. As a prosecutor for 17 years, I represent you in court nearly every day. In fact, I have more Monterey County courtroom experience than all my opponents combined. I'm asking you to join with the great majority of Monterey County law enforcement associations who are supporting me, Todd Hornick, because of my commitment to victims' rights, a safe community, and the orderly administration of justice. Ask yourself, what makes a good judge? It takes knowledge of the law, the system, a sense of fairness, and the ability to treat every case as unique as the person standing in the courtroom. Judges see hundreds of cases each month, and each one requires the judge's full attention, and I can commit to serving this community for decades to come. I'm Todd Hornick, and I have all the necessary skills and abilities and represent your best choice for Monterey County Superior Court Judge, beyond a reasonable doubt. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Shove it.
I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Today is Earth Day, but it's also Equal Pay Day.
I've been working for now 15 years. All this time I watched my woman drowning in a pool of tears.
Well, the story doesn't quite match Lily Ledbetter's circumstances, but maybe the feeling does. You like the attitude of the Johnny Paycheck song, Lily? Hello, Lily? Hi, can you hear me there? Caroline, can you hear me? Brian, I think we have lost our connection to Washington. So let's see if we can get that back. We've been talking with Lily Ledbetter and Caroline Fredrickson. Caroline is the director of the ACLU's legislative office in Washington, D.C. You should probably call Tyler's number there, Brian, and see if you can get through. And as you heard Lily describe in the segment just preceding the break, the Supreme Court ruled against Lily Ledbetter in her suit against Goodyear Tire and Rubber last May. And this is part of a larger pattern, and we've discussed this on the program on several occasions recently, because what it suggests is that the United States Chamber of Commerce, representing employers and business people, has been conducting a long-term campaign to get involved in court cases like this one that affect its constituents in the business community, filing what are called friend of the court briefs. But also, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has a pretty significant operation in Washington that vets candidates for the U.S. Supreme Court, state Supreme Courts, lifetime appointments to the federal bench, and even in some cases at the Superior Court level or the Municipal Court level in certain states. And they've had a concerted effort to put pro-corporate, pro-business judges on the bench. And we see this as linked to the Karl Rove matters relating to the firings of U.S. attorneys and the linkage to Don Siegelman's case, the former Democratic governor of Alabama, who was sentenced to 7 years in federal prison and is now out on bail as his case is appealed. As Larissa Alexandrovna and others at Raw Story have reported in their five-part series, this is a remarkable pattern. We also talked to a gentleman, James, I'm blocking on his last name, at New York University about 2 weeks ago about a sad development in the state of Wisconsin, where the only African-American justice on the state Supreme Court was defeated in an election where his opponent was backed by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They dumped a lot of money in, and in this case, the African-American judge was the subject of negative television commercials that depicted him as in a Willie Horton manner. He was accused of allowing a man to go free, a felon who then committed other crimes. But in fact, it was ancient history. It was a case of a man who this justice had defended prior to going on the court as a criminal defense attorney. So it was sad to see that kind of ugly racist disinformation used by the business community and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce as the organizing element to defeat that justice and add a pro-corporate justice to the bench there in the state of Wisconsin. So it doesn't look like, I'm not sure exactly what happened, maybe the NSA didn't want us to complete that interview, but it doesn't look like we're going to be able to get back in touch with Caroline and Lily. I do want to direct your attention to Senate Bill 1843, which is the Fair Pay Restoration Act. Last July, the U.S. House passed H.R. 2831, which is the Lily Ledbetter Fair Pay Act of 2007. And as we pointed out in the first segment, the issue here is that the Supreme Court ruled so narrowly on this technical issue, saying that Ledbetter could not sue Goodyear because she didn't find out about the discrimination that had been directed against her during the first 180 days of the decision to discriminate against her, which appears to be from the first day of her employment at Goodyear. She said she worked there for 19 years and left in the late 90s, so that would have occurred way back around 1980 or 81. And this is preposterous to imagine that an employee can only sue if she or he, in some cases, discovers this pattern of discrimination within 6 months of the discrimination being directed at them, and you can imagine that that usually starts from the first day of hire. So I certainly think this is a great bill. I encourage you to contact Senators Feinstein and Boxer and let them know that you support S-1843, that's 1843, the Fair Pay Restoration Act. And one more time, I want to encourage you to call the governor's office in Sacramento. Those opposed to the spraying along the Central Coast, and it's moving north into the San Francisco Bay Area, at least it's scheduled to, over the next few months. You can call the governor's office at 916-445-2841. That's 916-445-2841. Again, 916-445-2841. And hang on there long enough to talk to an actual staff person and see if you can voice your opinion. No more spraying, and prove it. Prove that there is a real threat to crops from the light brown apple moth. I think that is something that is still an unknown, or at least an unproven issue. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Podcasts available. Link is on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. Ken Silverstein, Harper's Magazine Washington editor, joins us next to talk about John McCain's slush fund.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at The King of...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pennsylvania primary payoff for someone.
Something new. A change. Something fresh.
Pulling up at the pump makes you mad enough to want to give somebody a piece of your mind, doesn't it?
Don't blame us. Blame the big oil companies.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Harley Carnes. What do Democrats in Pennsylvania want this primary day? 158 delegates on the table for the splitting.
Senator Clinton had a 20-point lead to start with. We think we've closed it, but you know, we still, I think, have to consider ourselves the underdogs.
Maybe the question ought to be, why can't he close the deal? With his extraordinary financial advantage, why can't he win a state like this one if that's the way it turns out?
Polls in Pennsylvania close in an hour.
I'm Barry Bagnato at a neighborhood polling place in Sewickley, downriver from Pittsburgh. Democratic voters have been showing up steadily here, saying they're excited by the contest and concerned about their futures.
For me, it's a general dissatisfaction with the way things have been going in the country.
Doug and Adrian Donaldson were torn but feel better with Obama.
Now, I don't care if people think he's a little naive or less experienced, maybe that's a good thing.
Fresh, something new, swayed us a little bit.
Lisa Lasanti didn't decide until she walked in.
It came down to experience. Hillary's paid her dues.
And she said, as she stepped to the voting machine, she thought of her 9-year-old daughter's excitement that a woman could be president.
CBS News exit polls show 23% made up their mind in the last week. Issue number one is the economy, by nearly double the war numbers, and most Democrats call this a recession. Republican presidential candidate John McCain is in Youngstown, Ohio today.
I can't tell you that these jobs are ever going to come back to this magnificent part of the country, but I can tell you that I will commit myself to providing these workers who have lost their job with another chance.
Unlike the two Democrats, McCain says free trade is the solution to more jobs and new opportunities must be created. Now this.
Dog that lathers really, really fast and rinses like squeaky clean.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.
Lindy is a Maltese, and she does nothing but scratch, scratch, scratch. After trying the Doggus Suds, I was just incredulous because Lindy is simply just not scratching.
Doggus Suds, new from Dynavite.
Get that new dog smell with Doggus Suds. DINOVITE.com.
I don't call it heartburn. I call it, here it comes again.
Eating on the run, food, stress, it's like an obstacle course. I try to get it under control, but I think it's controlling me.
Heartburn isn't funny. That's why Zantac is serious. Just one pill relieves your toughest heartburn all day or all night. So the suffering stops and life starts. Heartburn? Attack it. Zantac. Use as directed.
It's really all about the gasoline and the oil it comes from, which closed today at more than $118 a barrel.
We could be looking at $125 a barrel crude oil by Memorial Day, which would almost instantly translate into $4 gasoline for the summer season.
That's CBS's Alexis Christophorus. So why are prices so high? No real good reason. They're just jacking them up, says analyst Mike Fitzpatrick at MF Global.
Markets today are being fueled mostly by momentum in that it's going up simply because it is going up. There's no salient news headlines.
What's President Bush say about it?
No question, rising gasoline prices are like a tax on our working people.
So who's to blame? Not me, says this gas station owner in Harrison, New York.
You're lucky if you make 15 cents a gallon. And on that 15 cents, you got a mortgage the place, insure the place, and pay the help. You don't make no money.
Transportation Secretary Mary Peters says the car makers must do better.
Today, I am announcing new proposed fuel standards that are historically ambitious, yet achievable.
If prices are 25% higher then, and cars cost a lot more, we still lose. Even friendly nations spy on each other, and now the government says another Israeli spy has been caught way, way after the fact.
A New Jersey man named Ben Amit Kadish has been arrested now and charged by the federal government with four counts of providing classified information to Israel. It's an interesting case because the allegations go back more than 20 years. The government says from 1979 to 1985, while Mr. Kadish worked in an Army research lab in New Jersey, he would take home classified documents. Those documents would then be photographed and delivered to the Israeli government.
CBS's Bob Orr. Kadish is now 85. He allegedly stole nuclear weapons documents for the Israelis. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
Lawn and garden season is here. Time to shop your neighborhood Ace and dig into helpful expert advice for all your outdoor projects. Buy supplies like 5,000 square feet of Ace fertilizer for just $8.99 and get a $3 rebate. Or buy Miracle-Gro potting mix for $5.49 and get a $3 rebate. Use your Ace Rewards card and earn points. Sale starts Wednesday, ends Monday at Ace, the helpful place.
Price is good at participating Ace hardware stores while supplies last. All rebates by mail. See store for details.
Call it a miracle, call it what you will. It was special. A one-year-old baby fell out of a second-story window.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. La, 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 la. I like that sha-la-la-la-la-la part. Coming up later this hour, Jason Leopold with some grisly facts about the rate of suicide among Iraq veterans returning. Also, we'll talk about Michael Chertoff. He was part of the torture team, one of the last still in office. Will he face any consequences? We'll find out. Next hour, Melanie Sloan checks in to talk about ethics in Washington. We'll check in with Brad Friedman at Bradblog. Check out the long list of election problems in the primary in Pennsylvania today. They're voting almost 100% on touchscreen machines. Without a toilet paper roll.
Ah,
Now, but let's talk about John McCain, Mr. Straight Talk, Mr. Reform. Ken Silverstein returns to our program, Washington editor for Harper's Magazine. And, hey, Ken, you got the centerfold this month.
Yeah, I guess that's one way of describing it.
I mean, there are no bare breasts or anything like that. I don't want to disappoint people. But you got two staples, actually three of them here. Right.
Well, I guess it's political porn.
How did you discover the Reform Institute? Your piece here is the first I've ever heard of it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because, you know, you want to be putting things out there that people haven't read about before and heard about before. I confess there have been. I had seen a few scattered items about it, but I didn't think anyone had put the whole story together. And really, I mean, in looking at it, it's, to me, one of the worst things McCain has been involved in an ethical sense. He really was the founder of the Reform Institute in 2001 after he lost to Bush. And this is a nonprofit institute whose goal is supposed to be promoting political reform and transparency and cracking down on special interest groups. And yet when you look at it, you find the same people donating to it are the same people donating to McCain's political campaigns, his Senate and presidential campaigns, and to his political PAC, Straight Talk America. These are people who in some cases have maxed out on the political campaigns. They legally can't give more. And then they find another way to give to John McCain via the Reform Institute.
Mm-hmm.
You also find that many of McCain's cronies, including his campaign chairman, Rick Davis, have had key roles at the Reform Institute, this supposedly independent group. Rick Davis was paid nearly $400,000 in salary and fees from the Reform Institute. And then you also have an overlap in the agenda. So that, again, you've got this supposedly independent group, run by McCain's, some of McCain's key people, funded by McCain's key political donors, that happens to promote McCain's political agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, up until 2006, its focus was campaign finance reform, specifically the McCain-Feingold legislation, which is legislation that, in fact, I think is pretty decent. But, you know, you find that they're flying McCain to appear at some of their press conferences and featuring them in their news releases and hailing him all over town. And so they're promoting John McCain at the same time. And then in late 2006, right when McCain announces his presidential exploratory committee, the Reform Institute expands its agenda to include things like climate stewardship and immigration and homeland security, which happen to be the same sorts of things that McCain has associated himself with politically, introduced bills, you know, and these are his, you know, sort of the centerpieces of his political campaign. So, you've got this ridiculous situation where the Reform Institute is meant to be an independent, non-profit, good government group, but it looks very much like an extension of John McCain, Inc.
Well, and when you put this together with the array of lobbyists in the circles around John McCain, the still unresolved questions from the bungled New York Times investigation into Vicki Eisman, a lobbyist who carried business for PAX Television, and there's a critical issue related to the battle over a television frequency in Pittsburgh, where, shall we say, there are direct contradictions between John McCain version McCain's version of events and those of the parties who were involved in the fray over this television license. And so there's so many unresolved questions. And in our next segment, we'll talk about a new investigation from the New York Times, a front page story today, about a very wealthy landowner from Arizona who got some help from John McCain to swing a deal at Fort Ord in our service area in Monterey. Listeners of KRXA 540 are certainly well aware of the base that was decommissioned about 10 years ago. And this man made about a $20 million profit using John McCain as a validator for his presence and his involvement. I also want to point out there's a great display up on a website at Media Matters for America, mediamatters.org. And this is linked to the book called Free Ride that's been published by Paul
Paul Waldman and David Brock. And it shows you graphically the McCain lobbyist connections. And they have these neat little bubbles for each person. And when you roll your mouse over it, it tells you which companies they have lobbied for. So here's Charlie Black, who is chair of a lobby shop that represents General Motors, United Technologies, J.P. Morgan, and AT&T. And the AT&T part is important because that's the Commerce Committee that Senator McCain chairs. Did you find any overlaps between commerce, business, and the people who've revolving doored in and out? That's not even a word, but it works.
I think I know what you mean.
Of the Reform Institute.
Well, first off, Rick Davis, his current campaign chairman, was one of Washington's best-known telecommunications lobbyists, and he did, you know, he had a ton of business before McCain's Commerce Committee. And so you've got, you know, Rick Davis, who's running, he was the president of the Reform Institute for a time and a consultant for a while. And as I said, he made nearly $400,000 from the Reform Institute. He's running the place. And so, you know, you've got this key McCain intimate who now is campaign manager running the whole place. And this is a guy, as I said, with intense interest before the Commerce Committee.
And let me lift a quote here, Ken. It says, Davis proved to be an effective fundraiser for the Reform Institute. In May 03, for instance, days after Cablevision CEO Charles Dolan appeared before McCain's Commerce Committee to advocate a la carte cable pricing, he and Davis met, and soon a Cablevision subsidiary contributed $100,000 to the Reform Institute. Now that has the appearance of votes for sale.
Yeah, that, I think it's the most striking example where you just go, okay, it's not just a question of the same money and, you know, McCain staffers running the show, but you go, that looks awfully suspicious. And there are a number of other cases where he seems to cut it pretty close to the edge. I mean, EchoStar, the satellite TV company, is another big contributor to the Reform Institute, and McCain has gone to bat for EchoStar. And then you have another situation that's somewhat ironic, I guess, is that Gerald Perenchio, mm-hmm. who actually employed Vicki Eisman, this lobbyist who had this controversial relationship with McCain.
Right. Perenchio was the owner or chair of Univision,
exactly.
Which is the largest Hispanic broadcaster. They compete with Telemundo, which is owned by NBC General Electric.
Thank you. That's exactly right. And so this is a company clearly with big interest before the Commerce Committee. And meanwhile, this is the guy who is the finance co-chairman for McCain 08 and was a key fundraiser in 2000 as well. And this guy has, in 2006, through a foundation he controls, Chartwell, gave $375,000 to the Reform Institute, which curiously is not listed on the Reform Institute's website. It lists, you know, it supposedly discloses all of its donors. Well, Chartwell and Perenchio has given it nearly 10% of the $5 million it's raised since it was founded, and yet somehow Chartwell is not listed there. And so, you know, you've got a number of at least the appearance of a conflict of interest, let's say.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Ken Silverstein, Harper's Magazine Washington editor, and we're talking about a piece that is based on a screenshot of the Reform Institute website and John McCain's involvement with it, his colleagues, many lobbyists who have cycled through, and in particular Rick Davis, his current campaign manager, who earned $395,000 in salary and fees from the Reform Institute. Was this just like a parking place in between elections to keep Rick Davis available for the next McCain Straight Talk Express?
Well, it's interesting because I confess that was initially what I thought. I figured this was just a way of, you know, keeping Davis on call and funneling money to cronies. It certainly was a way of funneling money to cronies, but Davis, as it turned out, you know, I did several interviews with people about this. Davis was very, very actively involved at the Reform Institute, and he was plotting their strategy and plotting where they should get involved in terms of their campaign finance reform projects. And everything apparently went through Rick Davis. If you wanted something done from the Reform Institute, you had to talk to Davis. You couldn't talk to the staff.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that Davis, while at the Reform Institute, often decided that they should get involved in politically noteworthy swing states like Ohio and Michigan and West Virginia, where, in fact, campaign finance reform really wasn't an important state issue. There were no initiatives, and it wasn't certainly going to pass, and did not get involved in states like Maryland, which, you know, is not a swing state. It's a Democratic state.
Mm-hmm.
But where there was a very, very vibrant movement for campaign finance reform, which was on the ballot. And the Reform Institute, I know that the Reform Institute was approached about working in Maryland, and they passed on it. You have to sort of wonder, why did they make these decisions? I mean, particularly since the decisions were made by Rick Davis, it certainly looks like, again, that the Reform Institute, far from being an independent group, was an extension of John McCain Political, Inc.
Very interesting. Now, Ken, I think this is a brilliant piece. I just see one missed opportunity. You could have dusted off that $3,000 suit and gone into the Reform Institute and tried to make a huge contribution. Wouldn't that have been interesting?
Well, my undercover days are over, at least for now. I did drop by. I did just sort of drop by to see what was going on there, and it turned out, you know, it's a big office in Alexandria, Virginia. They used to be based, by the way, right in Davis Manafort, Rick Davis's lobbying firm, but they moved down the street. I did see their offices, but that'll have to wait for after the break, I guess.
Okay. Ken Silverstein with us, and after the break, we're going to talk about this deal that the New York Times just broke today regarding Fort Ord in the Monterey Peninsula area. And if you happen to know more about this, feel free to call in and share it with us at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955. Or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
checking traffic on KRXA. Good afternoon. We'll start you off on the Pacheco Pass eastbound Highway 152 after Dinosaur Point Road. Broken down Big Rig. That's tying up the right-hand lane. Carmel City Streets, Meadows Road at Carmel Valley Road. We have an accident. Two trucks, both off to the right-hand shoulder. In Prunedale, San Miguel Canyon Road at Castroville Boulevard. Watch out for a big box that's in the lanes. CHP's there trying to get that moved out of the way. For Twin Lake, Santa Cruz County, 7th Avenue at Eden Street. Three-car fender bender. That's clearing up off to the side. And it's Salinas Blackie Road at Morrow Terrace. We have an accident. Two cars may be blocking a lane, and CHP definitely on the way to check up there. This is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Ant season is here. For maximum protection, don't just call an exterminator. Call the experts at Orkin. Dial 1-800-ORKIN-MAN for your free quote today. If you spot a traffic problem, let us know. 415-901-7990. I am Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Time for more now on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Ken Silverstein, Washington editor of Harper's Magazine. We're talking about John McCain, the reformer, Mr. Clean. But there's another story challenging that carefully groomed image. And Ken, this is front page on today's New York Times, April 22nd. And I give them credit. It's a good enterprise story digging into a longtime crony of Senator McCain. This is Donald R. Diamond, who's one of the biggest landowners in the state of Arizona. He first met McCain when the former POW was running for Congress way back in 82. And with one exception, they seem to be have been very tight for a long time. And in pressing his business interests, Mr. Diamond has used letters of reference from Senator John McCain. And the Times reprinted one of them addressed to the city of Seaside. That's a community where Fort Ord was. And it's addressed to the office of city manager. And it just offers kind of nice words about Mr. Diamond. But, Ken, as the article goes on, it describes that Diamond got interested in trying to pick up the land near Fort Ord when the base was decommissioned, and he ended up using some help from a legislative aide named Ann Sauer, who went over to see Paul W. Johnson, a deputy undersecretary of the Army, which, of course, was in the process of planning for the future of Fort Ord. And the bottom line is, here's a quote, "Those guys got a sweetheart deal," said Michael Keenan, whose family bought the housing complex from Mr. Diamond for $30 million 2 years after Diamond had purchased it for $10 million. And even I can do the math. That's a $20 million profit in 2 years, and at least in part, it was based on his relationship to Senator McCain.
Well, this is the thing. You know, McCain is not a Duke Cunningham-type figure. You know, there are certainly some really shady characters in Congress and some of them now out of Congress, like Cunningham and in federal prisons. But, you know, he's got this record of being Mr. Clean. And yet you do find, I mean, there's not, again, it's not like a case of Duke Cunningham where you just find this absolute pay-to-play sort of situation.
Agreed.
But you do find troubling problems where it appears that McCain has gone to bat for political contributors or, you know, in the case of the Reform Institute, you know, created this bogus nonprofit group that's funded from his contributors. And I think that, you know, there's a problem in, and this is, I suppose, sort of a funny defense of McCain in some way. In our political system, the amount of money that you have to raise is so enormous, particularly to run for president, that there's almost no way to raise it without getting entangled in these sorts of conflicts. And I don't want to, I don't want to exaggerate and suggest that McCain is one of the more crooked members of Congress. He does have a pretty good record, and yet you find.
But Ken, here's the other side of that. I'm not disagreeing with anything you just said, but McCain has a strike against him from the Keating Five, and I followed that case very closely. I grew up in Cincinnati. Charlie Keating was a high school classmate of my father's, and so I had more than a passing interest in that. I also talked to Alan Cranston after he left the Senate in disgrace over the Keating 5 case. And McCain publicly claims that he learned from that and that he has made amends and that his good government efforts have been fueled by being burned in the Keating 5 case. This belies that perception.
And I totally agree with you. I absolutely agree. You know, and I think he's pretty much skated in terms of the media because there's been very, very little scrutiny of McCain. I mean, the Times piece was unusual in that sense because there haven't been a lot of really tough investigative pieces. I mean, I'd like to say that my piece on the Reform Institute fits in that category as well, but of course, you know, Harper's doesn't have quite the mainstream cachet of the New York Times, but you know, there's a lot out there. I think there is a lot out there. I don't mean to be suggesting that, you know, the guy is squeaky clean, because he's not. And there's a lot that needs to be looked into. And so I was glad to see the Times piece, because I think, you know, there's still plenty of time between now and November, and the media needs to stop sort of coasting and really look into this guy, because I bet there are plenty more stories out there like that. He's raised a lot of money, and he's got a lot of lobbyist friends, and he has a lot of political entanglements. I mean, I'm certain that there's more out there. I'll certainly be looking between now and November.
Well, and apparently you're not part of his base. The media is described as John McCain's base.
Gotten extraordinarily good press over the years.
Thanks for not joining that club, Ken.
No, that's the club I don't want to belong to.
All right. Great to talk to you again. Thanks for your work.
Thank you so much.
Ken Silverstein, Washington editor, Harper's Magazine. Check it out. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Jason Leopold about two issues. The dark side of returning from Iraq. Shocking number of veterans are committing suicide on a daily basis. And we'll talk about Michael Chertoff's connection to the Torture Committee. It's next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Stay tuned.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Could this be the day? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. There's a lot of polling data to digest before you're ready to understand today's primary, but basically it can be summarized as follows. Pennsylvania will be definitive unless it's not, which means it could decide who wins unless it doesn't. In that case, it could decide who loses, although because of the way Pennsylvania picks its delegates, the loser might in fact win. So you can see why the candidates were busy clearing up any misunderstandings, such as Barack Obama reassuring Jon Stewart that he would not arrest and enslave white people.
That is not our plan, John.
Although he didn't mention bitter white people with guns. And his cable wrestling promo seemed to leave the door open.
Do you smell what Barack is cooking?
Yeah. Hillary Clinton displayed her superior grasp of American geography.
I don't see how a Democrat gets to Pennsylvania Avenue without going through Pennsylvania.
But she'll need a few more beers before she makes a convincing wrestler.
You can call me Hillrod.
Both, however, did prove that they have the ultimate qualification for president. They will say absolutely anything into a live microphone. And I will say this. If for any reason today's primary turns out not to be crucial, Indiana, North Carolina, and Guam will then become crucial. Unless they're not, which would make West Virginia, Kentucky, and Oregon crucial. Unless they're not, which would leave it up to Puerto Rico, Montana, and South Dakota. If it's not decided by then, I believe the plan is for the U.S. military to occupy undecided countries where the Democrats could then continue holding crucial primaries. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Barack Obama for America, Barack Obama for America, his wisdom, courage, and Barack Obama for America. Barack Obama for America.
America needs Barack Obama. I'm Joan Hopkins, and I wrote this song. Help us play it on radio stations across the country. Go to deltawavepress.com or call me at 831-659-2086 to help America.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes into the hour. Jason Leopold joins us. He's been doing some enterprise reporting on some pretty difficult subjects. Now, this is a tune from Golden Earring we've been trotting out lately because it talks about 2 a.m. But underneath the happy beat and the great guitars, this is a song about suicide.
Sirens in my head, wrapped up in silence, all circuits in bed. Can I be cold? My whole life feels into a brand bed. Am I stepping into this twilight zone? This is the madhouse, feels like being home. My feet have been moved under moving star. Where am I to go now that I've grown too far?
Jason Leopold, independent investigative reporter, returns to our program today. Jason, great work on difficult subjects.
And oh, thanks, Peter.
You've been very busy lately.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and I've certainly been keeping busy with all of it.
Yeah, and I was stunned, and I was prepared for some of it. As you know, we do a weekly segment with Scott Dick on this program about military and veterans issues. We've talked a lot about post-traumatic stress disorder and the other issues, including mental issues and, issues from concussion wounds and those sorts of things that are affecting our returning veterans. But the scope of this and the statistics you're about to cite are truly shocking. How many, on average, veterans in the United States are ending their own lives?
Yeah, they're, the VA confirmed, inadvertently, by the way, 18 per day. That's 6,552, I believe, per year. And, 126 per week. So the VA internally, I should say that the officials within the VA were surprised at that figure when it was cited last year, and in an email they said that in fact, is it true? And they, the way that the email sort of read was, well, if you're considering that, there's 25 million veterans, or 24 million veterans
that 18 per day may not be so bad.
Well, but let's drill in here a little bit to the background data. Certainly, we do have a large population of veterans, some going back to World War I, many from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and certainly there are many different reasons why a veteran might decide to end his or her life. But this is a number that has to be a spike, that has to be directly related to the PTSD and other issues from Iraq and Afghanistan.
It's absolutely related. And in fact, the Veterans Administration knows that, has actually discussed it internally and did not want those figures to be released. We're also talking about veterans who are who have attempted suicide. Now, there are certainly, 18 per day is an astronomical figure because, first of all, let me just say that for several years now, the VA has actually said publicly that's not true. There's no epidemic. It's not happening. 18 per day is outrageous. To their credit, CBS News last November actually reported this. Ira Katz, the head of mental health at the Veterans Administration, attacked that report and actually said that these figures, these statistics, were wildly, outrageous, just not accurate. In an email that was released as a result of a lawsuit, a federal lawsuit that's seeking class action status against the VA, we find that Mr. Katz has in fact confirmed that the VA's own data shows that there are 18 per day committing suicide among the 24,000 veterans, four to five that are directly under VA care. In addition to that, he's said that, again, in an internal email that he did not want to get out publicly, that 1,000 per month, 1,000 vets per month are attempting suicide. Many of those are, directly as a result of the multiple deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. So let me just clarify that last remark. Is that to indicate that soldiers in uniform are attempting suicide while they are deployed?
Yeah, actually, by the way, let me just say that that 1,000 figure, that represents, soldiers in uniform that are actually under VA care.
Hmm.
So it's not, obviously the they break down these numbers, but the 1,000 attempted suicides among veterans who are have been treated or have sought treatment by the Veterans Administration, and it truly represents an epidemic, and the VA has just not been prepared for the response that they've received as a result of multiple deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan, and have actually turned away people who have sought some care at the VA hospital who later committed suicide, and it's documented.
Well, it's depressing, and it's tragic, but it is also, just another sign of how divided our nation is, and that most of us are, ranging from indifferent to oblivious about the true impact of the war in Iraq, and that returning soldiers are isolated in their efforts to deal with the problems that have been, left on them from this service.
Yeah, Peter, this is, I want to say that there, I don't believe that anyone, perhaps other than the families of these soldiers, very few people really understand that that this is happening. For a number of reasons. One, they're not being told by the media that this is happening. It's certainly not front page news. I don't believe that it's ever truly been reported this way. So the public's in the dark, And the fact is that, you know, it is happening, and soldiers are suffering as a result. And you have this, you know, this Veterans Administration that has, you know, more than half a million cases of claims that they still need to sift through. And in fact, it's interesting. In this lawsuit that's going on in up in your area, San Francisco, the lead attorney for the two veterans groups actually told me that he just the VA just settled a claim for not even that much money, but an individual who was seeking, you know, some benefits. 20 years old. He filed this benefits claim back in 1988.
Wow.
It's just settled now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people are truly on the, you know, are on the verge of, you know, of suicide. And meanwhile, there is nothing happening, really nothing happening. There's some talk about legislation, but nothing happening swiftly the way that, you know, we're pouring money into Iraq to keep the to continue funding the war.
And the lawsuit you described is a class action suit brought by veterans groups in San Francisco charging a system-wide breakdown, citing long delays in receiving disability benefits and flaws in the way discharged soldiers at risk for suicide have been treated. And you cite in your article the case of Jason Schurman. And he was trying to get help from the VA, and they wrote up a report saying he was faking it.
He actually went to see a psychiatrist, and he had his case is truly tragic because this kid, 20 years old, had actually been crying out for help. Everyone knew that he needed help, and he had threatened. When I say threatened, he threatened suicide. I mean, he was, you know, that's a cry for help. And, you know, they wrote it up as yes, he had the ability to fake it. Some of his colleagues, comrades saw him with a rifle in his mouth. They told his commanding officer, who punished him and actually gave him, additional work to do instead of sending him to, you know, get the help and care that he needed.
Yeah.
It's tragic. You know, once he did go into the system, into the VA system, there wasn't any help there. I mean, they just sort of, you know, for whatever reason to say that, you know, this kid has the ability to fake it, just certainly didn't deal with the issue.
Yeah, let's go to Thomas in Santa Cruz. Thanks for calling, Thomas. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Jason Leopold.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Thomas.
Fascinating, if depressing subject. I was curious about two things. One was that I remember watching a video online of a gentleman in his 20s from either Minnesota or the Dakotas. Yeah, are you familiar with that story?
Yes, that's the, Jonathan Schulte, I believe is his last name.
I can't remember, but his family was violent at home. He had a young child and a wife, and he was violent. And they took a long time to talk him into go getting help, and then he went to, they finally got him an appointment. They had to drive 80 or 100 miles to the hospital, and the hospital said, they gave him just a little preliminary talking to him, and they said something like, sorry, we don't have room for you now. Come back in 6 weeks. And he went home, and
he hung himself. And that's, you know, I cited that case in a previous story, and that's exactly what happened. He went to the VA. His parents took him there. They said he was suicidal. He told the intake officer or counselor that he was suicidal. They turned him away. They didn't have enough beds. He placed a picture of his child next to him. He went to his friend's house. In the basement of his friend's house, you know, tied an electrical cord around his neck and hung himself. And again, that is one of the cases that is being cited in the courthouse this week. By the way, Peter, the judge who's presiding over this case, Judge Conte, is a World War II veteran, and he was appointed to the bench by Nixon. And the Justice Department had sought the, urged him to dismiss this case, and he refused to do that.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thomas, did you have a follow-up?
Yeah, the other thing I had a question of is in 2002 I suffered a traumatic brain injury, and I have been suicidal myself just due to this injury. And I was just curious if Jason or anybody knows how much head injuries are contributing to suicides.
Yeah, well, first of all, Thomas, let me just say that you should absolutely contact the, if you haven't already, or if you're seeking any assistance, these two groups, Veterans United for Truth, Veterans for Common Sense, very good groups that are,
There's also an institute in Watsonville, Thomas, that treats PTSD, and we featured them on the program a week or two ago. It's EMDR. I think .org, and it's the EMDR Institute. So please do look into that and see if it might be appropriate for you.
But in terms of...
I didn't suffer a head injury in Iraq. I suffered a head injury at work, but I know the symptoms well, and I know
right.
that it could be contributing to the suicide problem.
Right, yeah. And my point is the EMDR Institute is not limited to veterans.
I'm
okay.
sorry, what was the place?
It's EMDR, and it stands for eye movement something else. But look it up on the web, emdr.org.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call, Thomas. And, Jason, go ahead and finish your point.
Yeah, I obviously assumed that since we're talking about the subject that he was a veteran. But his question, actually, the RAND Institute, as you very well know last week, and not by any means, not a liberal group whatsoever, they said that traumatic brain injuries, they were estimating at about 320,000.
Mm-hmm.
That there are those that soldiers that are suffering that. The bottom line is that we're talking about a true epidemic here. The same way that this administration, the Pentagon, did not want to call what was taking place in Iraq between Sunnis and Shiites a civil war.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to call this an epidemic, but that's what it is.
We'll continue in a moment with Jason Leopold. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off on the Pacheco Pass. This has been out there for quite a while now. Eastbound Highway 152 after Dinosaur Point Road. Broken down big rig. That blocks the right-hand lane. CHP is on the scene, and it's taken a while to get a tow truck out there, so expect delays as you approach the area. City streets of Salinas, Blackie Road at Morrow Terrace. We have a two-car crash that's blocking a lane. CHP on the scene with that. Highway 68 currently checks in, stalling accident-free. Highway 1 as you go through Monterey County as well as Santa Cruz County. No stalls and no accidents to tell you about. 17 problem-free except for that heavy traffic south 17 onto southbound 1. And this is brought to you by Visa. Every company succeeds in its own way, and Visa Business can help with smart, simple, and secure payment options. No matter what you want to do in business, business takes Visa. If you spot a traffic problem, let us know. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi.
I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Jason Leopold with us, independent investigative reporter. Find some of his latest work at Online Journal and also at ConsortiumNews.com. And Jason has a special event in Los Angeles Wednesday night with Scott Ritter, the former UN weapons inspector who was on our program last week. And Jason, I moderated a question and answer session Sunday night here in the Bay Area with Scott Ritter and Elizabeth De La Vega.
Yeah.
It was the first time I got to meet Scott, and I told him that you're a good guy, and he's looking forward to talking with you.
Oh, well, thank you.
And he's got a very powerful message, and I'm sure he'll try to work it in, but what really impressed me is he has a very concise series of statements about the Bush administration's preparations for a military assault on Iran.
Right.
And they all came due in April 2008. So he is trying to sound that alarm so that Americans don't get skunked again as we did with Iraq.
Right, and we're certainly seeing that type of rhetoric elevated. You know, just Condoleezza Rice is certainly carrying that message as well as, you know, President Bush and Cheney. President Bush, you know, after he announced, I believe it was a week ago, time has sort of gone past me, but that troops were going to U.S. troops were only going to be deployed for 12 months. He also, as you very well know, said that. And by the way, a message for Iran: if you continue to meddle in our interests in Iraq, you know, we will respond.
Mm-hmm.
So again, more rhetoric about whatever is Iran is responsible for. But it certainly underscores the interest that these folks have in you know, doing something militarily against that country.
Jason Leopold with Scott Ritter. It's Wednesday night at the Hayworth Theater, and I don't know where that is. Do you?
That's actually in downtown Los Angeles.
Okay. Downtown L.A.
Yeah.
Okay. Bill in Big Sur has a comment. Welcome, Bill. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, thank you, Peter. During the 60s, pardon me, I was in the Navy, and I spent 2 years on an aircraft carrier, pardon me, all of it in Vietnam. And we had heroes do tremendous things. Planes would come in and crash and explode into fire, and these people went out there and saved those pilots. I don't understand how John McCain can be called a hero. He did that, in my opinion, he flew his strikes as a bomber pilot, not as a fighter pilot. He flew those strikes, and he got shot down, he was imprisoned, and that's that. I don't feel in my heart that that makes him a hero.
Okay. But well, you're entitled to that opinion more than I am, Bill, because I didn't serve at that time.
I was there on a carrier, and that's that.
Mm-hmm.
But in regards to the VA, I have a disability, and back in November, I was notified by the VA that I was eligible for a hearing to reconsider my disability situation. I received a letter from them saying, well, you know what, Bill, here's the deal. You can have a one-on-one hearing up in Oakland. I live in Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
And one-on-one, and that could take forever to take place. Or you can come up to Oakland and have a teleconference hearing with someone in Washington, D.C. That one would be a lot quicker. That was in November. November the 14th, I received that letter. I have yet to receive any correspondence whatsoever from the VA in regards to this. And I'm becoming very distressed by this.
Yeah.
And even as simple as my thing is, I mean, you know, I'm beside myself. I'm not suicidal here, but for Christ's sakes, why can't these people contact me and just say, hey, you know what? We're still thinking about you. And at some point here in the next 20 years, maybe we'll consider your case. But can't these people at least call me and say or write me a letter?
Yeah, I wish that were the case.
About this.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Our time is tight here, but I appreciate your comments today. Jason, I just wanted to turn briefly to a recent article you wrote about Michael Chertoff. He's our director of Homeland Security at the cabinet level, and he was part of the torture team, wasn't he?
He was. In fact, I wrote about him previously, but once again, just with all the evidence that has come out, particularly since the ACLU obtained more evidence, more documents from the Pentagon, it forced me to go right back into the public record to sort of, you know, put these sort of missing puzzle pieces together. And you know, Michael Chertoff, at the time, who was head of the criminal division, and when I say at the time, I'm speaking in 2002, head of the criminal division at the Justice Department,
mm-hmm.
gave the okay to the CIA, saying, you don't worry about being prosecuted, yeah. do what you have to do.
Jason, our time's up. Where can people find that piece?
They can find that at Consortium News.
ConsortiumNews.com. Great. Jason Leopold, thanks for your work. We'll talk
thanks,
to you next
Peter.
Week.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties.
The Christmas is centered on Satan.
The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Ling. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The polls are closing at this hour in Pennsylvania for the Democratic primary between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and voters have had their say.
I like what he's talking about. I like his programs that he's offering for Medicare, Medicaid. I like that.
I like her much better. She seems to be down to earth. She knows what's going on. She's been there with Bill. And I just think she has a better outlook, especially about getting our troops home.
CBS News exit polls show the number one issue for voters is the economy, nearly double the number for the war. Barack Obama, earlier today in Pittsburgh, tried to tamp any great expectations.
I think we can win no matter what the results. The polling shows we can win no matter what the results.
To check the expectations at the Clinton camp, live now, CBS's Peter King.
Hillary Clinton hasn't made any predictions. She just says she hopes to do well, especially since the Obama campaign has outspent her 3-1.
Maybe the question ought to be, why can't he close the deal? With his extraordinary financial advantage, why can't he win a state like this one if that's the way it turns out?
How badly does she need a win? Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell just moments ago.
I think she has to win, first and foremost. Secondly, I think she has to win by more than 5 points.
He says that would be considered a landslide here. Live in Philadelphia, Peter King, CBS News.
Now here's a thought on the value of oil.
Oil in many ways is the new gold, and it is a refuge for investors.
except that unlike gold, experts point out, everyone else pays through the nose for the oil speculators' riches. Jim Burkhart, energy analyst.
The only thing that can respond quickly is demand. And we're seeing that happen in the United States, where oil demand has weakened in response to high prices.
Demand has gone down. Prices have continued up. The experts say the normal equation isn't adding up. Today, the price, $118 plus per barrel. Attempting to use a weapon of mass destruction is the charge against an 18-year-old high school student in South Carolina. Prosecutors in Chesterfield say Ryan Schallenberger could get life over the bomb plot. There was a spy in our midst, and he did his work years ago, according to the government.
The arrest of Ben Ami Kadish adds a major new chapter to the spy case of Jonathan Pollard. Both men allegedly took their spying orders from the same Israeli official, and both targeted classified military libraries, according to Joseph DeGeneva, who won Pollard's conviction.
This was exactly the modus operandi that Jonathan Pollard used, and he used it during the same period.
DeGeneva says mysteries lingered from the Pollard case because key Israeli figures fled the U.S. when Pollard was arrested. Stephanie Lambidakis, CBS News, the Justice Department.
In Oldsmar, Florida, 69-year-old Sandra Frosty walked into her kitchen to find an 8-foot-long alligator lurching toward her. It was chaos. The woman made a noise. The gator went everywhere it wanted to until the trapper finally got there. Wall Street, the Dow lost nearly 105 points, NASDAQ off 31. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your valve stem cover.
Thank you. No cameras. Hold
no, wait,
your applause.
Hold on. You're a what?
A valve stem cover.
A valve stem
cover? Yeah, I cover the valve stems on your tires.
Oh.
Ah, I know your tires inside and out. Mostly out.
Well, thanks, but I'll ask my Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer about tire inflation, rotation, special offer.
Fine, then I'll just keep doing what I do best.
And that is?
Covering valve stems.
Right.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Before you get out in the yard this season, check in with the experts at your local Ace for friendly advice and great deals on all the essential tools and supplies you'll need for your lawn and garden. From growing grass to planting plants, you'll save big time. And don't forget to get prepped for your next painting project with a few gallons of Ace Royal paint, starting at the everyday low price of $19.99 a gallon. Hurry in today, because this sale starts Wednesday and ends Monday. See participating stores for complete details. Ace, the helpful place.
Right or wrong, Earth Day on Capitol Hill was pile-on George Bush Day.
Senate Democrats used Earth Day to blast President Bush's environmental record of weakening clean air and water standards and resisting calls to combat global warming. Vermont's Bernie Sanders called him the worst environmental president in U.S. history. California's Barbara Boxer said the EPA had become an environmental criminal, and Washington State's Maria Cantwell felt for the planet.
For the last 8 years, Mother Earth has taken a pretty good beating from this administration.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi made her point with a shovel planting a new tree on the Capitol grounds. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
It may sound oxymoronic, but they had another beautiful bulldog contest in Des Moines, Iowa. It's one of those beauty is in the eye of the dog lover cases, perhaps. Buddy was the winner this year. His owner says Buddy mostly loves to sleep. But he got into shape for the contest by walking a lot in the last couple of weeks. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Dog that lathers really, really fast and rinses like squeaky clean.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.
Mindy is a Maltese, and she does nothing but scratch, scratch, scratch. After trying the Dogasud, I was just incredulous because Mindy is simply just not scratching.
Dogasuds, new from Dynavite.
Get that new dog smell with Dogasuds. DINOVITE.com.
I don't call it heartburn. I call it here it comes again. Eating on the run, food, stress, it's like an obstacle course. I try to get it under control, but I think it's controlling me.
Heartburn isn't funny. That's why Zantac is serious. Just one pill relieves your toughest heartburn all day or all night. So the suffering stops and life starts. Heartburn? Attack it. Zantac. Use as directed.
Thank you.
live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
6 minutes ago, the polls in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania closed. It's a critical, pivotal primary election. Brad Friedman's going to update us in a few minutes about those pesky electronic touchscreen machines and voting problems in PA today.
Down the street, concentrating on trucking right.
And a little later this hour, we're going to meet Jim Gillian at Brave New Films. He's a colleague of Robert Greenwald, and they have two new mini flicks out for your consumption. One called Condi Must Go, and the other called $3 Trillion Shopping Spree. We'll talk about that later this hour. You can chime in whenever the urge is felt. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Joining me now is Melanie Sloan. She's Executive Director of CREW. That stands for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hello, Melanie.
Hi, Peter. Do you think all your guests know each other? Because I was listening to you talk about your next two guests, and I know both of them and think very highly of them.
Well, and how about this? Ken Silverstein was on an hour ago from Harper's.
And I know him, too.
You have his piece about John McCain's slush fund referenced at your website.
That's right.
Caroline Fredrickson from the ACLU earlier today.
Friend of mine, in fact.
Yeah, it's the Peter B. Show with Melanie's pals.
Exactly. We're a small world, all of us.
It's true, and we're working hard to expand that. Win over a few converts. So how goes the battle over the White House emails?
So we had an interesting day over the, well, no, it wasn't the White House emails.
This is the visitor logs, I'm sorry.
The visitor logs, right.
Yeah.
So yesterday we were in front of the Court of Appeals on the visitor logs. This is the case in which CREW asked for the records of 9 Christian conservative leaders' visits to the White House, and that includes James Dobson of Focus on the Family, Lou Sheldon of the Traditional Values Coalition, and a few other people like that.
How about Ted Haggard? Is he on that list?
Ted Haggard is not on the list.
Okay.
We asked for this a long time ago before the rest of the country even knew who Ted Haggard was.
Okay.
These cases take a long time to permeate through, and we asked for this back in 2006. And when we asked for this, you know, the Secret Service is an agency, and there's the Freedom of Information Act allows us to get information from agencies. But after we were already in litigation with the Secret Service over this, the White House entered into a memo of understanding, otherwise known as the MOU, with the Secret Service, where they said they had the understanding now that all Secret Service visitor records were, in fact, White House records. So they were just trying to convert these Secret Service records into White House records. The real scary thing about this is that if the White House then wants to enter into an MOU with, I don't know, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, they can just enter that agreement and then say all HUD documents are suddenly presidential records, too. And if they're presidential records, they're not subject to the Freedom of Information Act.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit of a scary argument. So we were in front of the Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia yesterday. And it's kind of a conservative circuit. And included on this panel were is David Sentell, one of the probably the most conservative member of the court. And the members of the panel were all very concerned about the White House's effort to have blanket secrecy over these Secret Service records. They didn't seem to think that the White House should just be able to suddenly declare by an MOU that all these records were presidential records. But by the same token, they were also concerned that the president was allowed to have some confidential visitors, that people can come to the White House, the president can get advice that is not subject to public disclosure. And there's some support for this in the Constitution. There's a separation of powers issue. Does the president, like an executive privilege argument, can the president have executive communications that are not subject to public disclosure? And I think our answer is, of course, you can have some, but, you know, by the same token, many, many people come to the White House every day. Very few of those people come to see the president. And, in fact, if you're a lobbyist and you go to the White House, as lobbyists, in fact, do, they are required to report that on financial on disclosure forms that are filed with the FEC, for example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this is a complicated issue. The judge, the court, it's a three-judge panel. They seemed really uncertain what way to go, and they were looking for ways to sort of split the difference. Could they find a way to say, no, not every record of who goes to see the president must be public, but by the same token, the White House is not entitled to blanket secrecy. One judge, Judge Tatel, who's a Democratic appointee, said, well, you know, if somebody stood out on the corner of 17th and Pennsylvania and watched who went in, you know, you couldn't stop that. And that's a good point. And, in fact, the public is entitled to know some of what goes on in our executive branch.
Well, there are a number of ways to go into the White House. If you have the proper clearance, you can drive up to the ceremonial entrance. I recall there's some sort of a tunnel that Bill Clinton used to sneak out for, you know, just to get out and not be under the bubble. And there are a number of side entrances. But in general, should not the business of the White House be transparent?
And that's certainly our point. It should. The American public is entitled to know who goes to see the president and who, in fact, has influence over the president. And that was part of what was argued at the court yesterday, was how much is the public entitled to know who influences the president. And even the judges were debating that among themselves, how much we all have a right to know. And I think there's a pretty strong argument that in a democracy, we are entitled to know who's influencing the government. One of the judges kept bringing up, well, you know, it's the subprime crisis, and mortgage people in the mortgage industry go to see the president. And doesn't that tell you too much about the president's deliberative process? And the fact is, I don't think it does. What it tells you is the president is considering the mortgage problem, which, you know, would be a good thing, because, in fact, it doesn't actually seem like he is right now. But if all those people were going, we'd all be happy. But if we wouldn't know exactly what the president was deciding or how he was going. We would just know that he was hearing from these people about this issue.
Now, Melanie, did this stem from the original attempts to discover how many times Jack Abramoff went to the White House, and did he properly identify himself as a lobbyist on each and every visit?
No, that's a separate matter, and both we and another organization, a conservative group called Judicial Watch, asked for records regarding Jack Abramoff's visits to the White House, and the White House decided to give over those. They didn't argue about that, and they handed them over. So we have learned mostly about the number of people and Jack Abramoff and his associates who visited the White House. It was only after that that we then asked for these Christian conservative leaders, where the White House suddenly argued these were no longer records subject to the Freedom of Information Act, but rather presidential records not subject to public disclosure.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me challenge you just on one side. They threw a party for the Pope at the White House last week, and there were thousands of people there. Was there a list of every person, and do you consider that discoverable?
There would have been a list of every person. Anybody who goes into the White House, no matter how they get in, at some point the Secret Service checks who they are. You have to give your Social Security number. And except for a very few people who are pre-cleared to come into the official residence, there is a record of every person who goes in. And for these large social occasions, there are just large lists, and they may come in through a different entrance, but the Secret Service does clear all of them. And certainly our argument would be that should we want such a list of everybody who went into the White House, since the Secret Service keeps it, you know, mm-hmm. we should be entitled to that.
Yeah.
But probably most people who would have gone for that occasion wouldn't mind sharing that information.
Right, yeah. It seems like a public event and should be a public record. Melanie Sloan with us from CREW. Their website, citizensforethics.org. A lot of great information there. Citizensforethics.org. John McCain released his tax returns, but we're not going to get to see his wealthy wife Cindy's tax records. Is that right?
Well, at least not yet. My bet is that eventually we will see Cindy McCain's tax records as well. Historically, presidential candidates have released the tax records of both themselves and their spouses. Usually the spouse files jointly, but in this case, Cindy McCain, who's very wealthy, worth over $100 million apparently, filed separately. But that brings us back to the last presidential election, where John Kerry, married to Teresa Hines, she also filed separately, and after some outcry, her tax returns were released as well. Cindy McCain is arguing that this is somehow about their children's privacy is the reason that they don't want to release these tax returns. And to me, this is frankly just a red herring. Everybody knows that Cindy McCain is wealthy, and obviously her children have a financial benefit because of that. I can't really imagine what could be in the tax return that would be so much more illuminating about her children than the fact that she's rich and they'll get some money.
Well, maybe she's still doing business deals with Charlie Keating.
Well, exactly. And so the fact is, if there's really nothing in these tax records to hide, then John McCain has given the press and people like me an issue. He has made an issue where there need not be any. If they had simply released the records as a matter of course, everybody would have seen, oh, Cindy McCain's rich. They already knew that. There wouldn't have been anything new to report.
Now, what about the way he donated? Now, this is from McCain's income tax returns. He made a little under $500,000 total. That's what his report is. And about $105,000 went to charities, but most of that, $88,000, went to his family foundation. Is that all kosher? I haven't set my family foundation up yet.
That would be kosher. That's not an unusual thing for a wealthy person to do, to set up a family foundation that then gives away the money. There are certain tax benefits to doing that. So nothing surprising here. The only surprising thing so far is that they're being so secretive about Cindy McCain's taxes, which of course just makes it all the more interesting to everybody.
Now, one other item from a New York Times editorial about the McCain-Feingold law and a component of it called the Millionaire's Amendment. It basically says that if you're in a taxpayer-funded campaign and a really wealthy person steps in and spends more than $350,000 of their own money, that you get additional matching funds. The Supreme Court heard a challenge on this today. Is that right?
That's right. The Supreme Court was hearing from a guy named Jack Davis. Jack Davis is a Republican who, back in 2006, challenged Tom Reynolds, who was then the head of the National Republican Campaign Committee, and he is again running, although now Tom Reynolds is retiring, not running again. So he's a Republican who challenged a Republican, and he said that in that 2006 election, that's what he's challenging, is that the Millionaire's Amendment, that he says he has to disclose too much. Now, the fact of the matter is, Tom Reynolds didn't even take advantage of the Millionaire's Amendment. He didn't go out and raise more money because he was running against Jack Davis. He beat Jack Davis without needing to do all that. But really, the fact of the matter is, with campaign finance law, all it is about disclosure. And Jack Davis is making the, I think, very difficult argument that somehow you know something about his strategy by the fact that he can contribute more than $350,000 to his own campaign. That doesn't really make a lot of sense. All candidates have to disclose their funding, and there's no reason. In fact, it makes perfect sense that if somebody can self-finance to such a large extent, that we want people who are not as wealthy to be able to challenge them so that not only rich people become members of Congress.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, we'll watch for the ruling on that. Melanie Sloan, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Talk to you next week.
Go to the website, citizensforethics.com. Coming up next, we'll get a quick report from Brad Friedman on how the election went in Pennsylvania today. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
You're listening to the greatest talk radio station on the planet, KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Well, checking traffic on KRXA and very quiet so far this afternoon. Salinas, an older accident, Blackie Road at Morrow Terrace. Two cars, that's been cleared off to the side now. CHP out there taking a report. Pacheco Pass eastbound, Highway 152 after Dinosaur Point Road. Broken down Big Rig still tying up the right-hand lane. That's been out there for at least an hour and a half now. They're waiting for a Big Rig tow truck to arrive. Actually, the Big Rig tow truck on the scene, so hopefully that'll be moved out of the way relatively soon. But look for heavy traffic approaching the area. Highway 17 at the Cat's Restaurant, CHP lighting up those overhead signs just to warn motorists of possible wet conditions up on Highway 17. Definitely slow it down if you're making the trip up there today. This is brought to you by Dexatrim Max. In a world where portions are out of control, Dexatrim Max helps you stay in control. It curbs appetite and kickstarts metabolism. Fast-acting Dexatrim Max, maximum help in a maxed-out world. If you spot a traffic problem, let us know. 415-901-7990. Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. As we noted at the top of the hour, the polls have closed in Pennsylvania. Confusion, long lines. Elvis Costello sings about watching the detectives here, but when it comes to voting in Pennsylvania, it's those electronic machines watching the defectives, is how I'd put it. Let's turn to the expert, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Lots of entries here at the blog today, Brad. It's been kind of busy in Pennsylvania.
Unfortunately, it has, yeah. And this actually quite worries me, to be frank, because usually we don't get... As you know, with these elections, it's often the night of, the days following, that we find out the real extent of the problems with electronic voting machines. Given the number of reports we're seeing across Pennsylvania from early morning on, I think there's good reason to be concerned about that.
But MSNBC is reporting no problemo.
Well, that's what they did report. On the other hand, and I hope to have the video up shortly, Fox News, of all people,
yeah,
reports otherwise. They actually reported on the problems with the voting machines, and that they are, and they talked about the difference between the paper provisional ballots that they had to go use in many cases when the machines broke down, and that they'll be reading both the provisional ballots and the cartridges tonight. And of course, the interesting thing here is that all three of the networks, it's of the news cable networks, they're all calling it too close to call. And over on MSNBC, they were somewhat beside themselves that they couldn't call it from the exit polls. they were almost astounded that they were actually going to have to count votes tonight.
Oh, that's shameful.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, because, with electronic machines, you should be able to flip the switch and get the result that was in there before people started voting.
Well, to be frank, though, they don't even usually wait for that. They do it all from the exit polls.
Right.
And then, of course, they tell us the exit polls were wrong when they decide they are.
Yep.
But, so they're going to actually count votes now. Count would be probably in a quotes if it was over at Brad Blog, because the fact is they just pop in those cartridges in most cases. About 85% of Pennsylvania is counted on touchscreen type voting machines, and there is absolutely no way to know if any single vote ever cast on one of those machines was actually recorded as the voter intended. Other than that, everything's fine in Pennsylvania.
Now, I'm scrolling through some of your entries here. Wrong machine delivered, machine down, machine inspector blocked, long lines, machine malfunctions account for 30% of voter hotline calls. What are some of the most egregious or patterns of complaints that you're seeing, Brad?
Well, what I'm seeing is a lot of machines that would not start up this morning. And what I find rather egregious is that in Philadelphia, we had these problems all over the city there, and in each of the precincts they would have two voting machines. Now, they were not giving out paper ballots unless both machines broke. Now, mind you, we had a lot of long lines. You had record turnout there today, and yet people were waiting in line because they would not give them a paper ballot. Now, the other thing I understand is they don't have emergency paper ballots. They actually hand out provisional ballots if both machines go down, and those provisional ballots may not be counted for several days. So depending on how close it is, it's anybody's guess what could happen here tonight.
Right, and with the networks eager to declare a winner before the East Coast goes to bed tonight, and with the problems here, not only in tallying the popular vote, but then in allocating by congressional district the delegate count, because some of the delegates go to the overall statewide vote total, but most of them are assigned based on who wins each congressional district. And so it's going to take a while for all that to sift out, and the impatience of the networks combined with the problems that you've cited could make for a long night or for mistaken calls.
Well, that's exactly right. Although they don't much care about the delegates. They want a big old number, who won, who lost, and what was the percentage. That's what they're looking for, and if they can get that off the machines, they will, whether it's right or not, frankly.
Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. That's where you can get the latest on the Pennsylvania election and what's really going on. Thank you, Brad.
Thanks, Peter.
Good to talk to you. We'll catch you on Friday. Coming up next, we'll talk about Brave New Films' latest offerings, Condé Must Go, and the $3 trillion shopping spree.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
AllEachMounted.com. Get all your receipts online. These paper receipts are killing our trees. 9 million a year, it's just wrong. Everybody,
AllEachMounted.com. Get all your receipts online.
AllEachronic.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Your calls and comments are welcome. You can join this conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. Couple of minutes, we're hoping that Jim Gilliam can join us, one of the filmmakers with Robert Greenwald at Brave New Films. They're on the web, bravenewfilms.org. And there are two new mini films that you definitely should check out. One of them relates to the ugly history of the Bush administration's flirtations with torture. And we've talked recently on this program about the John Yoo memos that tried to redefine torture. And Condoleezza Rice's personal participation. She chaired the Principals Committee of the National Security Council, and they met, and the description is that they choreographed the acts of torture. They're always euphemized as, you know, enhanced interrogation techniques. But we know what that means. It's all a canard, solely intended to permit them to say publicly and she does it with a straight face all too often. Oh, we don't torture. And you're going to hear the litany of her comments about that in just a second here. And it is stunning to me that she still has her job. There's a great new website, CondyMustGo.com. And let's see here, 65,000 people have signed the petition, including, we'll single them out, Rick Filmon, just 2 minutes ago. And so I encourage you to visit the site, watch the video, and lend your name and your voice to the chorus saying, hey, I don't care if there's only a few months left in the Bush administration. Condi should go. Jim Gilliam joins us now. He's a former dot-com exec who left business.com to join Robert Greenwald and others at Brave New Films, and he helped produce Uncovered, The War on Iraq. Jim Gilliam, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Thanks.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and I want to stop for a second and talk about Uncovered, because the work that you and Robert Greenwald, and it's a whole team of people at Brave New Films, did there, opened me to a whole group of people who have spoken out very credibly against the war in Iraq, and they're all former military people or intelligence officers and others, Ray McGovern, Mel Goodman, Karen Kwiatkowski, gosh, the list goes on, of voices that you brought to that powerful documentary who continue to challenge the misguided policies, the morally bankrupt policies of this administration.
Yeah, you'll remember at the time that, like, it was treason to even suggest that Saddam didn't have weapons that were about to, like, explode, like, on our soil in 45 minutes. And there were a whole bunch of people that were out there that were trying to, really credible people, like you said, that were trying to say that, you know, this wasn't true at all, right? And there was all kinds of facts and backup for that. And nobody would listen to them. The media wouldn't give them the time of day. And so it took, you know, Robert and a few of us, you know, to say, you know, let's make a documentary. And we had no idea how it was going to get out there because, again, the media, you know, just refused to cover the story. And so that's when we came up with this whole alternative distribution idea of doing it all online ourselves and people hosting screenings in their communities and working with activists and the progressive movement overall.
Well, and it's been so powerful. The long-form documentaries, I think, still have great value, but the ability to do a quick turnaround on a powerful message at the very time that people are actually focused on it, I think is something that you have refined, that's you plural, at Brave New Films and the various groups like Move On and others that you collaborate with. You've been able to get critical messages out right at the time when the public is focusing on it. I mean, this Condi Must Go site went up within hours of ABC News reporting who the principal's committee members were and the facts that they actually met repeatedly, and the term choreographed sticks in my mind.
Yeah.
It also includes Colin Powell. And this is something that's very important, I think, because he's, you know, developed a rosier reputation since he resigned as Secretary of State and was replaced by Rice. But he was at those meetings, and he was either silent or he was a full supporter, because we're told that these decisions were made unanimously on most cases.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Colin Powell has gotten the pass. We held into account and Uncovered. Certainly, we went through his speech to the UN bit by bit and picked it apart. But yeah, the media still loves him.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange.
Yeah. I want to play the audio track of the video, Condi Must Go, here, because the audio is pretty clear, comes across well, even without the pictures. But I do encourage you, when time permits or when you're in front of your computer, to go look at CondiMustGo.com. Here's the clip, and Jim will be back with you in a moment.
I want to make very clear that that's the view and the policy of the administration, the policy of the president, and that he's made very clear to American personnel that we will not condone torture. The United States does not permit, tolerate, or condone torture under any circumstances.
Now listen to this carefully crafted legal language. We don't condone, permit, or rationalize. We just do it.
Tonight, the results of a 5-month investigation Ever since the public learned about it, the program for using harsh interrogation techniques on terrorism suspects has been highly controversial.
Nobody condones torture.
The discussions in the White House were top secret, and sources say involved some of the president's most senior and influential advisors.
And here the screen shows Dick Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, Colin Powell, Donald Rumsfeld, John Ashcroft, and CIA Director George Tenet.
Let me try to be clear. The United States doesn't and can't condone torture.
The meetings were chaired by then National Security Advisor.
This is an ABC reporter, Jan Crawford Greenberg.
Rice.
The discussions about the enhanced interrogation techniques were so detailed, sources said, the interrogations were almost choreographed. Whether, for example, they would be slapped, pushed, deprived of sleep, or subjected to simulated drowning.
It was a torture program implemented by the United States of America and approved at the very highest level.
Torture and conspiracy to commit torture are crimes under U.S. law, wherever they may occur in the world.
Waterboarding is misnamed. It should not be called waterboarding. That's just the device that we use. It should be.
This man is Malcolm Nance, described as a former Navy instructor.
Called the drowning torture, and has been called the drowning torture in the past.
I mean, these people are sitting around, regularly talking about something defined as a crime.
Under no circumstances should we or have we condoned torture.
In a meeting that summer, sources said Rice was decisive, telling the CIA, "This is your baby. Go do it."
The United States government does not authorize or condone torture of detainees. Acts of physical or mental torture are expressly prohibited.
I was in a lot of pain, and I was sort of counting the seconds, actually just counting 1 second, 2 seconds, just like that, really. Just hoping that it's going to be over soon, it's going to be over soon.
In less than 2.5 minutes... a stunning indictment of Condoleezza Rice and others in the Bush administration who actively participated in the decision-making about torture. And Jim Gilliam from Brave New Films, this is a really critical piece because up until this, only people at the sergeant level, Charlie Grainer, Lindy England, had been convicted of torture crimes related to Abu Ghraib. And we knew from the memos that were released by CIA Director Hayden earlier this year regarding the waterboarding of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and two others, I think it was many more, that these techniques were explicitly approved by individual cables from Washington. But up until ABC's report, we were unable to establish the exact names of those who approved it. And the second report from ABC was about the president, who says, "Yes, I knew about it, and I approve of it." And as I look at this, they're arrogantly admitting that they've done this, and they feel that they face no accountability, no repercussions whatsoever. And what do you make of that?
I think that we really need to make clear to the media that we can't let this story go. Right. I mean, the website and the video are a tool to continue to spread the message. I mean, we have it's not just about the rest of this administration, right? Condoleezza is, as of right now, very well respected amongst the community. And, you know, she is a very key part of the neoconservative agenda. And, you know, Alberto Gonzalez can't get a job right now, right? And Condi will be able to get a job unless we are very clear with the media and everybody else that we won't allow this. We won't allow someone to be celebrated that has, you know, run our name through the mud throughout the rest of the world.
Let's talk to Mohammed in Arcata. Welcome, Mohammed.
Hi, Peter.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. What's on your mind?
I was thinking, like, I don't see how we can indict the higher ups, you know, with war crimes. It's like the NSDAP, you know. The stormtroopers went and did all the dirty work. But Goring, Goebbels, Hess, they all got, you know, the blunt end. And it's ridiculous, you know.
Well, it is, and we know, for example, Dick Cheney's arrogant rejoinder to a question about how unpopular the war is, he turned to the reporter and said, "So?" And my opinion is that this hubris is fueled by their knowledge that the Democrats won't impeach them. And that's the only real remedy they have for these lawbreakers while they're in office. And those, I've talked to Elizabeth De La Vega and constitutional law professor Marjorie Cohn about this. The post-administration possibilities, including international tribunals and what they call universal jurisdiction trials, they have some possibilities, but it could take as long as 20 years to really bring out the facts and attempt to bring these people to justice.
Wow.
Yeah. Mohammed, thanks for your call today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And Jim Gilliam, as you and the others have put this effort together, how can people help propel and get this message out? Obviously, they can go to CondeMustGo.com, watch the video, and it's real easy there with links to forward it to friends and pass it along to people you know. What else are you counseling in terms of activism around this issue?
Definitely talk to local media. Write a letter to the editor. Those kinds of things. If we can use the attention online and people signing the petition and people posting it on their blogs and whatnot to drive further, to keep the mainstream media and the more traditional media focused on this story because we're angry about it and something has to happen.
Yeah.
We need to do that.
We're going
to
take a break and return with Jim Gilliam. Go to bravenewfilms.org, condemustgo.org, and in a moment we'll talk about the $3 trillion shopping spree. You can call this program toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA and just one accident left out there. Blackie Road west of Morro Terrace. Much older accident. Been out there for a while now. Two cars, both off to the side. Looks like just waiting for a tow truck to arrive. Highway 17, Santa Cruz Mountain. CHP has activated the overhead signs to warn motorists of wet conditions up there. Definitely consider slowing down if you're using 17 through the Santa Cruz Mountains tonight. Highway 17 southbound on to southbound 1 in Santa Cruz. No problems, but heavy traffic right there. And it'll stay stop and go on southbound 1 as you make your way down into Aptos. We've had reports of slow traffic south 101 leaving South San Jose as you make your way into Morgan Hill. And this report brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Ant season is here in Monterey. For maximum protection, don't just call an exterminator. Call the experts at Orkin. Dial 1-800-ORKIN-MAN for your free quote today. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're sponsored by Polly Point Press and John Gorenfeld's powerful new book called Bad Moon Rising, about Reverend Moon and that propaganda sheet called the Washington Times. Visit thekingofamerica.com and check out the video. That's thekingofamerica.com.
World has changed so very the way it used to. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. All the teachers, time to teach a new way.
That's my man Keb Moe out of Compton with an old Philly soul song called Wake Up Everybody. Wake up and spread the word that Condi's got to go. The website, condimustgo.com. Jim Gilliam with us from bravenewfilms.org. Be sure to visit their website, too. Laird in Eureka's got a comment. Welcome, Laird.
Hi, Peter. I called in a couple of years ago, and I made the comparison that the Bush administration is to politics what the Genovese family is to business.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, I've considered it quite a bit. I would like to see them prosecuted, the Bush family, under the RICO Act.
Oh, the racketeering law.
Yes, I think it would be much easier going to prosecute because all you have to do is prove a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Then everybody involved is guilty.
Yeah. Well, there's some issues, I think, related to immunity for official acts. There are some immunity provisions that were retroactively inserted into the Military Commissions Act. But, Laird, I think it's a great idea, and next time I've got a lawyer on the program, we'll ask him about
Thanks
it, okay?
For that.
Thank you for your call today. Jim, another website that Brave New Films has popped up is called 3trillion.org. And this is based on the information from Joseph Stiglitz and his co-author regarding their projections for the true cost of the war in Iraq. Let's take a listen to at least some of the audio from this video. And again, our listeners can go to 3trillion.org and see it for yourself. We're loading the video right now. Here it comes.
What would you do with $3 trillion? The $3 trillion shopping spree is your chance to find out. Want to reign over your own island nation? Go right ahead. Or maybe fund research that will cure a deadly disease. It's up to you. You can even wage an endless war that will cripple America's economy. With the $3 trillion shopping spree, anything's possible. Bill in Los Angeles bought 100,000 luxury yachts, 20,000 sprawling estates, and 650,000 private islands. Mary in Michigan gave health care to all Americans and still had $2.8 trillion left over. George B. in Washington started an illegal war that resulted in 151,000 dead Iraqi civilians. Gary in Indiana bought 1.5 billion pounds of beluga caviar. Debbie in New York bought 500 schools in her home state and still had $2,987 billion left for school supplies. Donald R. in Arlington, Virginia destabilized an entire region and displaced 4 million innocent people. What will you do with $3 trillion? Go to www.3trillion.org and spend, spend, spend.
That's great. A minute and a half, a nice pukey announcer doing the game show thing. I mean, it's a satirical piece that drives home a very important point. We wasted a boatload of money, a whole shipload of money on this war. Jim Gilliam?
Yes, we've been trying to figure out how to really bring home to people just how much $3 trillion is. It's just so, like, incomprehensible, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about we could spend money on this, we could spend money on that. So we thought, let's make a parody site of Amazon.com and let people buy whatever they want and send it to their friends and use it as a means of conveying all these other things that we could do with that money.
Yeah. And this is something that's very powerful because, for example, I know people who have stopped paying attention. They don't watch the news. They don't pick up the paper because they find it depressing and they've kind of checked out. And this is a way to engage people who, for one reason or another, have kind of closed their minds and who aren't open to hearing from traditional sources. And by putting it in a shopping context, I know a lot of people, women in particular, sorry, I'm not trying to overgeneralize here, it's not a sexist comment, but I know women who think about things in terms of what a shopping trip costs them and what they could have gotten in diamonds for what they had to spend on groceries, for example.
It's worked really well. It actually crashed our servers when it started. So many people started coming. We have had 250,000 people shop in the first day, and it's now over 800,000 people that have come by, which is like it sort of totally blew us away.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
So it's an interactive game show site, and here's some choices. A Secret Island Fortress is only $15 million. You can buy a Death Star, you get a twofer for what, is that $250 billion? too many zeros there. A lightsaber I got to scroll over to get the zeros on this one. That looks like $100 million. I've always wanted to get a speeder bike from, one of the early Star Wars movies, that thing they used to fly through the forest on. So if you could get me an estimate on that, Jim.
You can actually add your own products to the site, so that's where a lot of these really clever ideas have come from, is you can just go in and add your own product and then send it around to folks and see how many of those you could buy for $3 trillion.
Yeah. This is really clever. Free, fair, and unbiased media. Well, I'd call that priceless.
Right.
Can we, would Visa sue us for that? Or?
Hey, that would be great, right?
We have to be careful. Well, Jim, this is terrific, and it's interesting. We started off our program today talking about Earth Day and the impact and cost of the war in Iraq on climate change and what we could have done to address greenhouse gas emissions if we had just spent the hard dollars, the $600 billion to date that was blown in Iraq, on domestic programs to reduce our output. And so this is a kind of lighthearted way to address the same issue. And I thank you and all the folks at Brave New Films for your work.
Thank you very much.
All right, Jim, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today. That's Jim Gilliam from BraveNewFilms.org. I'll just mention the other websites briefly in case you didn't catch them earlier. 3Trillion.org is the one we just listened to, and earlier, CondiMustGo.com. All right, hope you got all that straight. If not, Google it or send me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com, and I'll make sure you get the right information. Thanks for joining us for the program today. I think we'll do it again tomorrow.
Happy trails to you.
My thanks to producer Katrina Rill and our assistant producer Brian Urban on duty today. Grab a podcast and share it with a friend. The link is on the homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Smiling until then.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. First thing, live now to Philadelphia. Hillary Clinton's headquarters, CBS's Peter King.
Well, Harley, CBS News estimates that when all the votes are counted, Hillary Clinton will win the Pennsylvania primary. But by how much, we don't know. The pundits have said Clinton needs to win big. Governor Red Rendell says she can, even though Obama has spent three times as much money here.
If she can withstand an onslaught like that and win with a 6-7 point margin or higher, that's pretty significant. If she wins by 10, given the fund spending disparity, that's a game changer.
Most of the people here are either unaware of the projections by CBS and other organizations or just waiting to see what the margin of victory is. But make no mistake, they are excited, and it is very noisy in here, Harley.
CBS's Dean Reynolds says Obama knows this race is far from over.
A loss is a loss. And it would be another example of the difficulty he has in winning big, important states. Perhaps that's why Obama now says he sees no early end to this race.
I have come to conclude that this race will continue until the last primary or caucus vote is cast.
Oil today closed at more than $118 a barrel. Here's a gas station owner in Harrison, New York.
Don't blame us. Blame the big oil companies. $40 billion the big four oil companies made last year at the end of the year.
And you're making how much per gallon?
15 cents if I'm lucky when I'm done.
A top secret briefing is set for members of Congress on what the U.S. has learned about North Korea's work with Syria on nuclear weapons.
Both the Israelis and the U.S. had intelligence which linked that building in northern Syria to a possible nuclear facility that had been built or was under construction with North Korean assistance. But exactly what the evidence was, how convincing it was, is something that has really never been tested in public because the intelligence has been kept so secret.
That's CBS's David Martin. Consumer advocates want better labels on alcoholic drinks. How much booze is in there, for starters?
Alcoholic beverages are no different than anything else that we consume, and it's particularly important that